The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Were you here yesterday? It was such an amazing, amazing move of God in our midst yesterday. Hallelujah. That yesterday's meeting was not just another evening. It's a major landmark in this ministry. Amen. Yes. If I did the entire season, it's very strategic. This entire season for us as a church is very strategic. Are you following me? For many reasons, but it's a very strategic season for us. We're going to maximize it. We're going to take it seriously and get the best out of it. Amen. So, we'll be looking at transmitting life, and the focus of this teaching, right, is to show that whatsoever God has put in us or has worked out in us, because we're looking at the God life. Whatsoever thing that God has put in us, worked out in us, has deposited in us, is not just for us. It's for the benefit of others. And I don't want you to ever forget that. It should be repeated again and again. That God doesn't start something in you, right, just because of you. Now, let me correct this. Or not correct, let me explain this better. That doesn't mean that you spend your time studying and just getting yourself equipped for others. No. How it works is you should get yourself fed, get yourself full and all of that for you. But eventually, it will reach others. Because there is an error of taking this whole concept to the extreme. Right? Where I see ministers who no longer study for themselves, but they study to teach. They study so they can bless people. That's where there's a problem. Do you understand? When God gives you a spiritual song, that song will edify you first. So you should sing it, rejoice to it, celebrate and what have you. Do you understand? Because it is for you first. But then, it will eventually be for the body of Christ. In fact, if you pay attention to the dealings of God, He will use your personal experience to bring you to some experience with Him that will now bless others. For instance, a singer now could be going through tough times, and in the process of praying through that tough time, he gets a song that he's going to sing through that tough time, and it will help him pull through the tough time. But you know, after that season, that song will no longer be for him alone. I get what I'm saying now. That song will eventually begin to bless the world. That's how it works. So it starts the dealing with you, but eventually others begin to benefit. So when you read the book of Psalms, all those Psalms you see written there, David was not writing them for us. I follow him. He was writing for himself. Those who are offshoots of his personal prayer life, offshoots of his personal study life, offshoots of his personal devotion that he documented. Eventually, he's blessing us. So that's how God starts. So it starts with you. So if I start studying now, God will begin to teach me things for me. For me. But then, if I learn what he's teaching me very well, eventually it's no longer be just for me. I told you, for instance, the teaching I'm doing now on the God life, I first studied this concept a long time ago. When I mean a long time ago, I mean over 10 years now. Over 10 years now. When I read E.W. Kenyon's book, The Two Kinds of Life. I get the point. Now, I read it for myself. I studied it. Then I read Brother Hagin's book, Zoe, The God Kind of Life. These are two powerful books I read. So I just read it for myself, just knew those things and just began to live them. It became my life. A few times I tried. I think when we had Zoe 2015, I said a few things around the life of God. I don't know if you remember. Does anybody remember? Zoe 2015. Where did he hold? Is that burning now? Where did he hold? Just somewhere. Amen. So I said a few things along that line. But then that was just about that. I've referred to these things I'm saying over and over again. But I've never had to. It's been long I came to do a full 29-day teaching on the life of God. But I learned it for me. I practiced it. I lived the life. So God is now taking from what he has taught me as a person to now reach you. Do you understand? I feel what I'm saying now. So it's not like God just begins to say, I'm going to give you this for all that. No. It starts to work with you. Then it begins to bless others. Let me make this statement. Whatever thing that God has helped you master in your personal life, eventually will use it to bless others. Yes. If you see some ministers that you look at their calling, what they do is that they help people must get a strong prayer life. God would have helped them master a solid prayer life. Some of them, you see God take them through 8 hours prayers daily. Some strange things. So that they can master it in their lives. Then, after that, it begins to bless others. The Bible said that God will, Jesus told the woman, the water I will give you, so when you drink it, it shall be to you a well of everlasting, it shall be a well springing forth to everlasting life. So it's not just what will satisfy you. It will now begin to spring forth to bless others. Because that's the whole essence of God doing. That's where it starts from you. I follow what I'm saying now. That's why you observe. This is not a general rule, but that's why you observe that most people that have what you may call special ministries or special callings in a particular area, most of them have had to deal with issues around that area. For instance, people that have a very solid healing ministry, not all of them, but some of them have suffered dangerous illnesses at one time in their life that almost took their lives. That they had to stay on God's word and receive their healing. Now, that which God has worked out in their lives, you begin to serve others. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Can I take it as an example? Like I've mentioned many others. I can mention a few others. So that's why, and I want to digress to say, that's what I'm going to say to you. If you are going through any challenge in your life, God just put it strongly in my heart. If you are going through any challenge in my life, in your life, don't cut corners. Don't run away from the challenge. Stay in it and win through it by the faith of God, the Spirit of God, the life of God in you. Because if you are able to go through that and learn all you learn in that process, later in your life, God is going to use you for people in that same situation. Are you following me? That's why God doesn't cause experiences, but God uses the experiences for us. So you see someone that, for instance now, you see someone that is broke. He's so broke and all of that. And he begins to cut corners. What he doesn't know is that if he can stay strong, learn the process. So sometimes in trying to break out of the poverty. Let me give an example, Kenneth Copeland. When they were very broke, they were broke. When Kenneth Copeland explains how broke they were, I used to feel like I was rich when I was broke. He said they were so broke that they got to a time, said they were owing everybody that they knew. Everybody close, and they were owing the person. He used to say that it takes the supernatural to be in that kind of debt. he thinks he said they were spiritually in debt. That was Kenneth Copeland. When they needed to come out of that, what did they do? They went to Brother Hagin's books, packed up Brother Hagin's books, began to learn, began to take God's word in, began to learn some principles. Are you following the point? They went through those principles, eventually brought them out of debt, but it has done something more. From the wealth of all that God worked out in them through that process, they are now helping many other believers walk in prosperity. It's one thing I'm saying now. So it's something he starts with you. But if you handle it well, it will eventually begin to help many other people all over the place. Which is why, as a way of instructing you, don't waste your experiences. Don't cut corners through your experiences. I get to the point. Don't complain through your experiences. Because God doesn't cause those experiences. But if you allow him, he will use it later in your life. Sometimes he will even use it. The simplest way he will use it is for encouragement. You cannot tell, let me tell you my own story. I've been here. And not only will he encourage with words, you will be able to give clear direction on how to walk out from that particular situation because you've been there and you've walked out of it. So many of us need to know how God deals. So when I say that God, you know, whatever he does in you is for others. It's not as though it's primarily for others. It's for you. He starts it with you. You get the point? It helps you. Maybe God is helping you cultivate a solid prayer life now. You just find that prompted. Every time you wake up, you're praying. You wake up sometimes 6 hours, sometimes 4 hours, 5 hours. You see all those things? It's helping you. It's changing you. But at the end of the day, you might be playing a major role in helping others come into the same experience. Because what God does is he works out something in a person, then he sends that person to help bring others into the same experience. Are you following what I'm saying now? He sends the same person. And I can take this to many areas. So if you're having relationship struggles and all of that, maybe you are older as a man or as a lady, but you're not married, and a lot of things happening around. Make sure you go through that experience with the faith of God and stand on the word of God. Because there is a lot you will learn in the process. Eventually you are going to be married. That one is fact. Do you understand? It's not a question of whether you'll be married or not. It's a question of what has that experience produced in you eventually. So that tomorrow, if God is looking for who to send to singles, he can send you. I feel what I'm saying. Because there is something that he has worked out in you when you are going through. Now, this is where people get some of these teachings from. People say things like, God sends pain or trouble, the mystery of pain, to train us. That is not correct. God does not do that. God doesn't have pain to send to anybody. I follow any point. But what is actually correct is that while you are going through something, God can begin to teach you in it. So I always give this example. You cannot, because you want to teach your child to pay attention before they cross the road, you cannot possibly push them to an oncoming vehicle. And when the car hits them, you say, well, I allow that car to hit you so that you can learn how to cross the road. You won't do that. However, if your child walks into trouble and the car hits him, what will you do? You'll carry him to the hospital. You will treat him. While you are treating him, you are talking to him. I get to the point. That's why you have to look well. That's why you have to. So you did not cause the experience, but you are using the experience as an avenue to teach. Are you following what I'm saying now? So that's how God operates. So, everything God is taking you through, any discipline he's taking you, discipline, I'm not talking about punishment now, any discipline, maybe he tells you, you know, begin to study your Bible, do four chapters every day. He's taking you through that discipline. It's for a reason. It's for you. But if you handle it well, the offshoot of that experience is going to bless the world. Are you following me? Just like you look at some of you that at a very young age, you have this crazy passion for evangelism. You just find yourself winning the lost all over the place, winning the lost all over the place. And that has become you. You keep doing that. God is using you mightily. With time, that thing you are doing, God will begin to use it for others too. Because he will now begin to bring, gradually, it may not even be crusade, he might begin to bring people around you that are cold towards soul winning. You know why he's bringing them? He has tried you. You have been proven that anybody that comes around this person will be ignited. So you start bringing them. Let me say this. I won't give details. I've said this many times, but let me say it again. There is a particular kind of case that have been recurrent in this ministry for the past 2 years. The pastors will tell you. People in a particular kind of case keep coming here. They keep coming here. I won't give details. I give details, you can now trace, but I will not give any detail. They keep showing up. Do you know why they keep showing up? Because one showed up. And we did it well. Another showed up. So God just knows, keep sending them there. Amen. And there's another reason I will not tell you. Because some of those experiences have gone, now I've not gone through that experience, but some of those, God has taken me through some lessons on some of those things some time ago. That's why, let me tell you this, if you're just, when you get instructions from God, God doesn't explain himself always. He doesn't. In fact, he scarcely does. In fact, any son that we have to explain ourselves all the time is a bad son. Are you getting the point? If I say you should start jumping up, and I have to tell you why you should jump up at all the time, you're a bad son. It means you don't really want to obey me. You want the reason to make sense to your hearing. So there are things, some of the things that I'm using to handle those issues now, were things that God would just tell me, study this. Study this. I remember going for a meeting. And it was a very big meeting, about 5,000 people. It was the biggest meeting I was attending at the time. And then somewhere in the meeting, they would divide the classes. They will divide the classes. I'm talking to you about God working out things in you. So, of course, when they divide the classes, they take the youths somewhere. So we used to go to the youth session. One of those days, they were in the youth session, they were talking things. They said, don't follow me. So the thing wasn't, I was like, okay, I know. So it looked like moral instruction to me. So the Lord said, both the Lord and how I was feeling, I got up. And I started going to the adult session. I saw where they were teaching. What they were teaching did not concern me in any way. But the Lord said, go there and sit. So I sat there and took notes of things that does not concern me in any way. What I'm talking to you about happened as far back as, well, let me give you perspective. I started attending that meeting the year 2000 and either 9 or 10, 2010 or so. And I went to that meeting between 2010, and I think my last time in that meeting, I think I went 3 times or 4 times consecutively. So this happened around 2010 or 2011. So I'm talking to you about, so I had no need for that. I get the point. I've had to, one of those days the Lord said, go to a meeting. They shared classes. The Lord said, go to this one. One of those days. And what they were teaching there did not concern me in any way. Do you know what I'm talking about? Marriage. Now, not how to marry. No. The peculiarities of a pastor conducting wedding. Why it's not good to conduct wedding this way. Why you can conduct some wedding and it will not stand. And I got there. I've never at the time dreamed of being a pastor. So I didn't know what I was actually doing here. In fact, I go to the place, they say I should not enter. Yeah, the usher said, I should not enter. I pleaded with her. I said, please now. She said, I should not enter. So I said, okay, fine. I don't like disobeying ushers. I grabbed the seat and I sat outside. So when she saw that I sat outside, she just waved her head and said, check this boy, yeah, enter. And that's how I enter. I had no business saying that. But I took those notes. I still have them. Just kept them. When I was about to conduct our first wedding here, I remembered that thing. So the Lord prepared me for something that happened about 15 years after. Many years ago. I get to the point. Without giving me any reason, I just felt I was learning something. I get the point. So I'm saying God will do things in your life, but it's not just for you. You know, there are some of you that this thing I'm saying will make sense to you in 10 years' time. Yes. Because it's in 10 years' time that some experiences you are going through and that some things you are doing now will begin to add up. It's okay. Is that why? Oh, wow. Yes. That's why take instructions very seriously. You just woke up, the Lord says, I want you now to begin to study this. Start doing it. Start doing it. So that the Lord will tell you, follow that person. You see that brother in church? Go close to him and begin to learn from him. Start doing it. I follow him. Study. Everything. Of course, the first thing is for you. It will help you get better in your walk with God. It will help you pray very well. It will help you to be stronger. After all that thing, from that particular experience, you begin to use it for others. I follow him. Some of the things you begin to see in this ministry from next year and next 2 years. But I've announced it, we are going into some heavy crusades next year. I've said it, have you? Heavy crusades. If I can give you an idea of a crusade of that will run into millions. Not like 1 million or 3 million, not 7 million. Like million. 2 days crusade. Amen. The night sessions will be powerful. Whole stadiums, whole field. It will start from fields that a few areas God has pointed out. For instance, this area where we are going to be, where we are building supernatural hub, we are going to take that place with a heavy crusade. Yes. The night sessions will be outdoor meetings. The morning sessions will be free medical care. Now, I'm not talking about checkup. It's not eye check. Free medical care. Free drugs. We are going to put in the investment. While that is happening, we are going to gather the youth somewhere and begin to set them up with skills. Free skill acquisitions. Are you following me? Yes. Then at the night, we return for the crusades. So some that we diagnosed in the day will be healed at night. That is combining the natural and the spiritual. I thought you that I'd be ahead, so we combine it. But look at this. This thing I'm telling you now. God prepared me for this many years ago. When time comes, I'll tell you. There are some experiences. There are some men God says follow. There are even men God will tell you, begin to sow into this ministry. Yes. I've had some strange things I can begin to tell you. Sometimes God will say, you see this ministry, this is somebody I don't know from. Somebody I remember one day I was in a meeting. Let's leave that story. Somebody I don't know from nowhere. Maybe a minister I just see. God say, begin to sow your seed into that ministry. And then we just send. For no reason. God will say, follow it closely. Follow it closely. I know the way the human mind works. Every time God begins to deal with you about that, and I'm saying this to help somebody, you possibly think it's something that will manifest in 3 months' time. And that's why some of you say, God said I should do it, I did all of that, nothing happened. Don't worry, just relax. God plays a very long game. Are you following what I'm saying? I told you about the vision I had about going to do crusade. I told you yesterday. You know, I've completed that story here once. It was a very painful story. I was praying and the Lord gave me the name of a community. It's a community I've never heard about. Isn't this a Enugu state? Gave me the name, gave me the direction, like supernaturally. That was my first one having that kind of experience. God speaks to me, but that one stood out. Gave me, showed me a major, an Anglican church in that place, and told me the name of the church. And showed me a crusade that will happen around that place. I said I should go and meet the man and set it up. No, he didn't say that part, but he showed me. I'm going to some of these things. I just saw all of those things. So I got up, I was confused, so I began to ask questions. I asked a woman beside our house who was from nearby. He said, yes, there's a community like that. I said, there's a church like that. He said, yes, there's a church like that. Yeah. So I called my friend Pastor Casey. I said, look at what the Lord is showing me. And Him is a believer. He believes in anything I say. So we went. We took the trip. We looked for money. In a way, you know that God is sending you. From the gate of the community, we are seeing everything as the Lord said. Everything I told him. I came into the church as the Lord. I saw the structure. I met the man. It was the exact man God said I was going to meet. Then I began to share the vision with them. And they said no. I did everything. I shared the vision. I proved that I was from God. They said, see today. So I tried to tell them. I said, they said no. That it will never happen. Not on his watch. So we are leaving that place frustrated, dejected. So I came back and sat down. I said, God, I would have asked whether you sent me. But this is too supernatural for me to ask if you sent me. So what is happening? He didn't answer me. He didn't answer me. So I just continued in my life. Somewhere along the line, he came. Let me explain this to you. The Lord said, sometimes I show you these things and I plan this in your life. You always think of tomorrow. You think of next month. That was when he began to explain that phase of the ministry. That phase of our ministry is this crusade thing we are about to go into. He said, I will point out communities to you and cities. And I will point out men that you will collaborate with when the time comes. I'm just showing you what will happen. Are you what I'm saying? Yes. So, sometimes when he starts things, you just think it's going to happen tomorrow. Then you will say, oh God. Because if I didn't see those things from natural, I would have said maybe my mind was telling me. If it was just inward witness, I said, I just sense. If it was just a sense, and I would have said maybe I did not sense right. But that one was clear with pictures, with names, with details. In fact, when I went there, because I informed people that I was going, I informed a neighbor that I actually asked for the exact direction to confirm what I saw. I informed my mom. So they were inquisitive and eager to hear the result when I came back. I told them it's not happening. And then my neighbor got angry. I said, okay, that man came in. Came in the name of the man. I said, that man, Utakosi, a very stupid man. I said, she was so vexed. She didn't say, what kind of nonsense is this? A young man girl I got sent. I said, is he paying me as he paying? He paid me by himself. Now, I'm just saying this to you. Whenever God is doing this with you, he's not just going to do it with you. He's preparing you for something bigger. Are you following me, friends? For something bigger. I've not observed that most people that were heavily addicted to things, when the Lord helps them come out of it, later in their life, he'll begin to use them for those guys that were addicted to. Yes. That are addicted. He always does that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So that's what I'm saying. When God works out things in your life, it's for others. You know, I've not put my notes. Glory to God. So where are all these things coming from? From my spirit. Just there. Okay, let's see if I can look at my notes. I should continue with the spirit. So, God puts things in us. So, one of the things we looked at that God has put in us is his love. So, I'll talk about that a little. So, God has put his love in us. I remember I told you, the first manifestation of spiritual death is what? Hatred. The first manifestation of spiritual life, of the life of God, is love. So that's why, look at Romans 5 verse 5, says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's Romans 5 verse 5. So you notice he puts his love in us, you know, so that we can, you know, love people. So, I'm trying to show you, this love he put in us is also for others. And one major reason he put his love in us so that we can use it to serve. I want to talk about serving the saints today, serving the saints with love. Because he put his love in us so that we can use it. You know, when people hear love work, the only thing that comes to some people's mind is forgiveness. If somebody's hurting you, forgive the person. That's also good because forgiveness is a hallmark of the love work. But there are some other things you should do with love work. One of them is what I'm going to show you today. Serving the saints. Serving the saints. Are you following me? serving the saints. But that's why God put that love in us, so that we can use it to serve others. We can use it for others. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So that's one of the major things that stood out in the early church. They loved themselves so much, and they used that in to help themselves. The love was so much among them. So they used the love of God that he put in them to serve and to help each other. If you take Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Hallelujah. He said, "And the multitude of them that believe we are of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own." They had all things come. So they loved themselves. So, and that love was not just in our hearts. It's not just to say, "I have the love of Jesus in my heart." It was evident that it was being shared among them. To the point that nobody that owned anything said anything belonged to him. Now that's very serious. Everybody will get their things and share. They had all things in common. They had all things in common. That's the kind of love you have in Christ. That's the kind of love. So we should be able to use the love of God that he has put in us and serve people with it. Bless the church with it. So what I'm saying is this. When you are serving in church, it should be... Okay, well, I'll get to that very shortly. Very shortly. So they had all things in common, and they served, you know, and because of the love that was in them. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, you have the same example. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, they did not just have love in them. They showed it. And one of the major ways to show this love is in service. That's what I'm trying to make. You know, in Galatians 5 and verse 13, that scripture where Paul later said talking about walking in the Spirit, he said, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love." What do? Serve one another. So one of the ways you walk in love is to serve. The way he said the apostles had disciples had all things in common. It wasn't just that they were looking at themselves, hugging and saying, "Oh, I love you, I love you." One of the ways they were showing that they loved each other was that they were serving one another. And so when you do not serve your fellow brethren, you are not walking in love. I'm going to show you how we do that today. Are you following me? We are not serving your fellow loved, your fellow believers, and not walking in love. Say, do not use your liberty as for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. By love, serve one another. So don't just be shouting, "I'm free in Christ. I can do anything I want." Freedom in Christ is actually what enables to now serve one another. Verse 14 now says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor." Remember, we saw this, that love is fulfillment of all the laws. All the laws. He said, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Verse 16 now says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." So one of the ways to walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. And how to walk in love is to serve one another. In love. So walking in love is not all about somebody is angry with me, I forgive the person. That's part of it. But service in church, serving the saints, is a major way we show that we love one another. Are you getting the point? NLT said, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." So the service I'm talking about is not the service that is imposed. It is the one done in love. So, listen. You see, the word love is big. And that's why, and sometimes it's difficult to interpret. That's why we came up with things we call love language. What is love language? These are things that... this is how people interpret love. You know about love language? Do you know? I can tell if you don't know. Do you know? If you don't know, so I don't know. Thank you. God bless you. Next time. So there are five love languages. Now, this is not connected to Bible. This is not Bible. But I want to use it to explain what I'm saying. There are five love languages. If you are going to get married or enter a relationship, they always teach this. The person that developed, that wrote mostly on this was Gary Chapman. Yes. So there are five love languages. There is the one, and love languages actually how people interpret love. How people interpret. So there is something you do to someone and the person will feel loved. And you do it to another person and the person doesn't see it as love. The person sees it as, you're just doing your thing. So one is words of affirmation. So people, that's a love language. Words of affirmation. You know, they feel loved when you affirm them. Now everybody loves affirmation. Everybody does. But there are some that, if you are just praising them, say, okay, fine. What they want. It doesn't really mean much to them. Do you understand? The second one is quality time. What people call attention. For many ladies, this is where they are. So some people, they need quality. They want to be around. They want to be around. They just give me time. Give me attention. Give me quality time. How can you say you love me and you're not there? So that's quality time. Now, there are some other people that if you just hang around, they feel, why are you just around? Why are you everywhere around my space? So that's quality time. Amen. The third one is physical touch. Now, that's not talking about sexual touch or anything. Physical touch. The people that interpret love, how they feel really loved when you hug them, you pat their back, you know, they just want you to hold their hands, you know, all those kind of things. Now, some people that wonder, why are you holding me? Why is our skin touching? What's the other side? Then there are some other people, I've said three, Abi. And the next one is act of service. People that interpret love with what you do for them. So that guy loves me. So how do you know? He just helped me. He helped me wash clothes. He helped me wash my bed. He helped me do my assignment. He helped me. He just assisted me. So when you see someone that is their love language, they want, if you get married to them, they want you to help them in the kitchen. Now, not all this feminism thing of, you must be helping me cook. You must cook. If I cook, you must cook. That's all. I mean, they really feel genuinely loved. Sometimes they want you to be in the kitchen as they cook you a pounding pepper. They just feel loved. Right? Yeah. Some guys are like that too. They just want to assist them. It doesn't be domestic work. It can be maybe in their office stuff. They're just helping them. Okay, don't worry, baby. You know what you're doing? Let me be helping you just edit this thing. They just feel, wow. That's act of service. And the last one is receiving gifts. Now, it's not about greed, though. I'm talking about greed. When someone's love language is receiving gifts, they don't really care about the size of gifts. They just appreciate the thought, you plucked a flower for me. So it came to your mind to pluck a flower. I've seen that. Somebody said, not flower. So these are five love languages. The thing is, everybody falls. Now, the thing is, these five things, and I'm trying to use, this is not a relationship class, so you can have relaxed and enjoying it. No. Come out from that realm. But I'm using it for a reason. Everybody likes these five things I mentioned. But we'll just say there's a love language because to some persons, some mean more than others. And sometimes it's about upbringing and background. Sometimes. Sometimes, if a lady grew up receiving a lot of gifts, it might affect her. Maybe her father just gave her a lot of gifts. It could affect her in any way. It could affect her directly or indirectly, or positive or negative. Sometimes they just grow up and gifts will not mean anything to them. You give them gifts, say, is there another thing you are bringing? It's just gifts. Do you understand? Sometimes it can also affect them in a way that they begin to see gifts as the only way to show love. Some of that is act of service. Somebody grew up as a maid in the house, maybe not as a maid, or maybe grew up as an only girl, or someone that was doing all the jobs in the house. Do you get the point? When the person grows up, and that's why you find that in all those houses where people have maids, the person that eventually gets the maid pregnant is always one brother that will go and be assisting the maid to work. You know what I'm saying, Abby? Because once he just gets around and says, oh yeah, don't be happy and clean. The maid feels shy. No other person this has cares about me. She's interpreting love that way. So love is a big word. People interpret it in many ways. Which one is your love language now? Receiving gifts. So people, it's words. And is this not a relationship class, but if you're going to get married, you know, it's good you know. But the way it helps is, it may not help at the beginning stage of your marriage, but it will help eventually, because by the time your partner is not feeling it, you just know what to speak to let the person know I love you. Because sometimes words will not do it. I get what I'm saying. Yes. So people don't know. They just speak what the person is not understanding. Imagine someone like me. I like gift too. I like gift, but gift is not really a thing for me. They say, why? Maybe, I don't know, but maybe because I started ministry quite very early. So receiving gift was just a normal. People can just say, man of God, thank you for blessing my life. So I could, you get the point. So I appreciate gifts, but I'm not the type that you don't give gifts. And I say, oh, I didn't know you were there for me. That's what people don't understand. So, you know, when I got married, people try to impress me and they send me things. I just see it as you are sowing into my life. I'm just telling the truth. When I get, I say, oh, glory to God. You are blessed. You're sit soon. So imagine you get married to someone like me, and then I'm not in a very good way. You bring me a gift. I just say, oh, God bless you. God bless you. You'll prosper in all your ways. I say, nah, babe, I'm giving you this. I said, I'll prosper. You'll prosper. Your season is better. The road is clear. There's a new season opening up for you. So it was actually no word to speak. What are people that when you give them gifts, their bad mood disappears? What's the problem? Say, hey, for me, everything is over. They will not even check what is inside. The fact that it crossed your mind to get the gift. So that's why it's important to just learn your partner's love language. Now that's a short relationship class. You're going to pay for it. Now back to our teaching. So what led me to that is, there is a way to interpret love, right? Even in the church. Even in the church. So what people, when we say, I love the Lord, that's what led me to that. What is it you will do to God and he will know you love him? Is it just by saying it? I love you, Lord. Is that how God interprets love? Of course, that is that part. But you see what Jesus said to Peter. He said, Simon, do you love me more than this? The guy said, yes. He said, feed my lamb. So in other words, one of the major ways to show to the Lord that you love him is in how you serve the saints. So what led me to love language is, you don't explain. You see, love should be interpreted from the other person's lens, not from my lens. Do you understand what I say now? If you want to show me love, find out how I understand love, how I want to be shown love, and love me the way I want to be loved. What is a healthy way? What is a healthy way? Because there are many people that want to be loved in a very unhealthy way. I get to the point. Somebody say that, do I want to love, how I appreciate love? I want you to call me at least 6 or 7 times in a day. You're dating a jobless person. No, that one is not, they don't help you 8 times. Now, it's not like short calls. It's not like, hey, babe, how are you doing? Bye-bye. I mean, I want you to be called to me at least when you wake up, we should at least 1 hour on the phone, and as you're going, Instead of want to date a broke person. So that that can be unhealthy. Okay, maybe 6 times is small. But do some requests for 10 times, 12 times, 18 times. Why are we not talking every time? Why are we not talking every time? God is faithful. So, but if it's okay by you, it's okay. It's okay by me. If it's okay by you, it's fine. But you should love people from how they interpret love. Now, if we want to say we love the Lord, we must find out what is it that God sees as loving him. I feel I'm going with this. It's not just enough to say, I love God. So how do you know? God knows. He knows my heart. He knows I love him. I love you now and always. Is that all God sees as love? That is more. So he told Peter, Simon, do you love one another? Simon said, yes, I love you. He said, feed my lamb. Yes. So you know what? How you prove to one of the major ways You show the Lord that you love him is in serving other saints. Serving other saints. It's not by how you think. You know, so the people that want to love you how they think you should be loved. Say, this is what I think you will need. And I think you need it. So you better need it. That's manipulation. I get the point. That's control. People have to be loved and treated how best they interpret love. I feel what I'm saying now. So if you marry someone, for instance, I don't know why I'm going back to this matter. If you marry someone, for instance, and the person's love language is words of affirmation, but you are not the talking type, you have to really learn to be the talking type. Because buying 15 gifts in 1 month may not do anything to the person. You'll be grateful, oh, thank you for the gift, but we'll still be down. Are you pulling the point? So you must now have to learn how to talk, how to hold the person's hands, look into his eyes, as I believe in you. You know, when I mean words, it's not that I love you. I mean, I believe in you. Did you see how you delivered that teaching? Baby, forget that we are married, though, but when you teach, I'm just grateful that it is you I ended up with. I just wonder what you would do to our kids with knowledge. You would just bless them. My kids are covered. Glory to God. Before you are done with that, the guy is not saying, stop. Glory to God. Yes, you have to know how people want to be loved. That's what I'm saying. Love them how they want to be loved. What is a healthy way? Because people want to be loved in an unhealthy way. Don't love anybody in an unhealthy way. Obsession is not love. Right? Control is not love. But that is a healthy way. People want to be loved in a healthy way. You find out that your spouse wants quality time and all of that. And then you travel, you go stay somewhere. You're sending gifts. All those gifts are said is not doing anything to the person. Come back. Yes, come back. Let me see you. And then when you come back, what will matter to that person is, after a whole day's stress, before you get to hit the bed to sleep, that's 1 hour you people talk. Yes. Now, some people, this is actually what is destroying their marriages, but they don't know. Because they are trying to love people how they think that a person should be loved. It doesn't work that way. So what works for your spouse? Everybody I've done marriage class pandemic, I always ask them this question. What is your partner's love language? Well, let's sort it out. What is your partner's? You need to know. And in marriage, people that are already married, be speaking it. It can change everything in the marriage. Be speaking it. When it gets very bad, just know what to speak and everything will be fine. I get to the point. Know what to speak. If it is gifts, if it is help, help the lady through this when she was just complaining. I found out her own problem. She was talking about her friend. They had the same problem. So this, her friend, was married to a good guy. From everything she explained, a good guy. This guy drops her off at work and comes to pick her up every day. Every day. And he comes with gifts. So when this girl was telling me about it, he was saying, every time they come to pick somebody up and be sending gifts, is he gift out? I said, what's the problem? So I was wondering. So at the time, I kept questioning. She said, no, it's not that it's not like I don't appreciate the gift. I appreciate the gift, but come on now. You send me a gift. Now I'm at home and I'm cooking. If you want to come and help me cut onion, I said, okay. I said, have you told him? They said, does he not have sense? I said, he doesn't have. He doesn't have. Because he's doing to the best of his knowledge. Maybe that is how he himself sees love. So you can imagine a guy might be thinking, what I'm doing everything. He picks, brings her to work, comes to pick her every day. Almost all the days, it was her friend telling me, we'll bring gifts. I pick this chocolate. I pick this every day. So all that stuff are just doing, the girl is dying. God suffocating me with gifts all over the place. Did I tell her I want gifts? So everybody carry their own problem, they work out. So but what I'm, this conversation I had with the lady fixed that marriage quickly. I just did mention it to the guy. Tell him that you want this that to happen. I went to the guy said, now why did you say it all the while? I'm not good with all these home chores, so, but anyone you teach me, I will do. Yes. So he's a good guy to the core, but he was loving the girl in his own way. So I now asked the girl, so should he now stop coming to pick you? Say, no, he should not stop it. I said, bloody problem. Amen. But you're not even that going to pick every day. Some girls will not like it. Not because they're bad people. Why are you just all over my space? Don't worry, I'll be driving myself home. Yeah, some people cannot like it. All of my people are coming to pick me. If you don't come and pick me, I can drive myself in. It's not like that, Abby. Simple. So it's just about how you want, how, find out how your partner. That's why one of the most important qualities of a healthy marriage is talking. Communication. Not fighting, talking. Because it's by talking that you find out what someone really wants. You know, before that John 21, Peter would have thought that how Jesus will feel loved is by him telling him, I love you. I care about you, Jesus. And that's what many church people think loving Jesus is about. Wear big polo, Jesus, I love you. And you think Jesus will see it and say, oh, he loves you. Is that what you think? It's not bad to sing those songs. But then there is an action that will back the song. There are a few others, but this is one. He said, feed my lambs. So when you serve the saints, you are showing Jesus that you love him. It's as simple as that. So don't tell Jesus how you want to love him. Love him how he wants to be loved. Are you following me? And the proof of love to him is that you serve. And that you do it in love. So I'm already showing you, he put that love in us so that we can love him and love the saints. And actually how we show we love him is by loving the saints. Yes. So that's why James, the book of James tells us, how can you claim you love God that you do not see? Do you remember that place? And you do not love your fellow believers that you can see. Doesn't make any sense. Is that book of James or 1 John? I've forgotten. But you cannot say you love God that you don't see. But then there is somebody you see and you say, you don't care about them. You don't do things for them. You don't serve them. But you say, God, I serve. So actually, I've taught you this. Serving God is serving man. You actually serve God through men. So what am I doing in church this morning? I'm serving God. How am I serving God? I'm teaching you. So by my teaching you, I'm serving the Lord. When we say go for evangelism, we are serving the Lord. How? By reaching out to unbelievers, we are serving the Lord. When you are working in the church as a cleaner, what are you doing? You are cleaning the place that men will stay. What are you doing? You are serving the Lord. So it is through men that we serve God. So if a man say, I love God, I hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he... He that loveth not rather his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he had not seen? So show us that you love God by how you love the saints. Are you following what I'm saying? So when we say serve the saints, you know that there are sort of Christians that are actually very interesting. They want to relate with God, outside man. And so you see them, they are very proud when you listen with people. But before God, they lie down and are forming humility. You're a very proud person. The proof of pride, of humility, is not by lying down before God. It's by lying down before your fellow men. I get the point. Because everybody can claim to be humble towards a person they cannot see. It's that simple. You can't even see. They want to serve God. They say all that matters in life is your personal relationship with the Lord. That question has to be investigated. That statement. Just have a personal walk with the Lord. So he comes to church. He doesn't serve in church. He doesn't do anything in church. But he has a personal, you don't have any personal nothing. You have nothing with the Lord. That's me, I'm telling you. You can fool us. You can't fool me. Because if you don't have a personal walk with that your Lord, he told Peter, feed my lamb. So what is he telling you to do? So all I do is I just go to the Spirit, I pray, and I ascend. I don't interact with humans. We interact with celestial beings. Beings in the heavenlies. But some of you are still in the first heaven. We will go to the third heaven. And I'm pressing beyond the third heavens. You see, after all those things, you say, if you really love the Lord, you must serve men. I follow him. But you must serve them in love. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 6 verse 10 that God is not unrighteous. He will not forget your labor of love. So there is a labor called labor of love. That is labor done out of love for God and love for man. If I put it better, I would say labor done out of love for God manifested in your love for man. So that is labor of love. Labor done out of love. Labor done because you love the Lord and you want to show you love the Lord by how you love men. That is labor of love. So that's what to do with all the love that God has filled you with. Use it to serve men. In the church. Use it to serve the saints. So why are you emphasizing in the church? Yes, that's what the Bible says. Galatians 5 verse 13. He says, serve one another. One another, he means that in context, is your fellow believers. That's Galatians 5 13. Are you following me? Galatians 5:13. Because I'm about to call another verse now. Okay. Say, but by love serve one another. If you go back to that place you are coming from now, Hebrews 6 verse 10. He now said, for God is not unrighteous, right? He said to forget your labor of love. What is that labor of love? In that you have ministered to the saints. So who are you supposed to serve as in the labor of love? The saints. That's what he's saying. How do you show that you love sinners? Preach the gospel to them. How do you show that you love saints? Serve them. The word minister here is serve. Is to serve. I get to the point. So you must use the love of God in you to serve saints. This is a school of ministry this morning. This afternoon. Are you learning something? Was you to serve saints. It's not about God knows I love him. No. God knows. He knows. He doesn't even know. Because he told, but do you see how Peter was answering Jesus? The last time he told Jesus, but you know I love you. That's how he answered. He said, you know I love you. He said, feed my lamb. Don't tell me I know. That's what some people do in their marriage. Do you not know? If I don't love you, why will I not marry you? Don't you know I love you? Sometimes the spouse doesn't know. You have to speak it. You have to show the person. I get to the point. And I want to say to marriages, if you're married, yeah, stop assuming your spouse knows anything. Show them. They don't you know I love you. If I don't love you, why am I in this marriage if I don't love you? That's a very stupid question. You can be there for any reason. You can be there for the children. You can be there for what you will stand to gain. You can be there because you're afraid of getting divorced. You know, people like marriages for different reasons. So you have to show your spouse that I'm in this marriage because I love you. I'm here because I care about you. Say it and show it. So Jesus was saying to Peter, it's not enough to say, you know, I love you. Feed my lamb. Show practically. Are you getting the point? Romans chapter 12. Let me show you. There are different areas that I'm going to share with us that you have to serve the Lord. Different areas where you can serve the Lord in love in the church. Romans 12 from verse 6. We're going to read from verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. He said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. He said, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now verse 9 says, let us love without. So he mentions from verse 6, 7, 8, 9, different things you can do to to serve the Lord. He now rounds up in verse 9 by saying, love with us. So, you know, these are ways you love the church. Do you follow what I'm saying? Go to verse 6. Give me New Living Translation. Hallelujah. He said, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things as well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. He said, don't just pretend to love brothers. To love others, really love them. So one of the ways to really love people is what he's showing you. He just showed you. So how we show we really love the saints is how we serve them. So it's not just all about holding our hands together to sing, we are heirs of the Father. You know that song? We are joiners with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family, family. Is that enough? It's by how we serve others. I already listed to us different ways we can serve others. So let's look at it. The first thing he said in verse 6, he said, he that prophesied. So one of the ways we serve people is by the administration of spiritual gifts. One of the ways a believer must serve. Now, let me make this statement if I continue. All of this is I'm going to list here. You should do all. However, there are some of them that God will specifically give you as responsibility to do. We're going to see it as we proceed. Amen. So the first way is by, he mentions prophecy. So some people, they are, you know, the, one of the ways to show we love the church is that we use the gifts of God in us to serve people. The gifts of God. So why did he mention prophecy? Because if you look at the tone of Paul's writing, prophesying is one of the is one term he uses to generalize spiritual flows. If check verse 14, you will notice what I'm saying. Are you following me? So he's saying, so there are people that, you know, all of us have special graces that we carry. Some of us prophesy, some of us heal the sick. All of us do that actually. But we must use those things to serve the saints. We must use it to serve the saints. So when I stand here, if I flow in word of knowledge, and I say there is somebody here, I must carry the mindset of service, not boss. Are you what I'm saying now? We must use it to serve the saints. To serve the saints. It must not be used to destroy believers. You know, there are people that use their gifts to destroy churches. That's why, let me give an example. That's why in this church, and I'm saying it openly now, it's long I made that statement. Two things I'm going to say. If any believer in this church gives you a prophetic word that you don't understand, before you act on it, teach the leadership. In fact, what we actually encourage is that sometimes before you give a prophetic word, reach the leadership that you're really under. Because some people that are not trained use those things to destroy the church. And I've had to deal with those things a few times. You find it in a very advanced level. If you go to all these prayer houses, they can look at you and tell you, your mother is a witch. If you've seen all those things, she's the reason you are not prospering. So you go home and begin to fight your mother. So prophesying that should have been used to serve people is now used to tear things apart. So if your mother is a witch, why are you still alive? Why didn't she kill you when you were still a baby? When she could have just bewoged direct without using witchcraft. I get what I'm saying now. Say, your mother is a witch. But they look at you and say, it's your brother's wife. That's your brother. And what does it do? It tears the family apart. Gifts should be used to serve. I get what I'm saying. Used to serve people. So you used to serve the church. Whatever grace God has given you, you used to serve the church. The Bible tells us in Acts, I think that's Acts 15 and verse 32, tells us about two prophets, Judas and Silas. They were prophets. They exhorted the brethren with many words. Give me another translation. And confirmed them. They spoke aloud to the believers, encouraging and strengthening. These guys were prophets. What did they use the prophetic ministry to do? To strengthen and to encourage believers. That's what you do with the gifts of the Spirit. So everybody here at different capacity should be using their gift in one way or another to serve other believers. And if I let me add this in passing, it is not for pride and it's not for show. Let me also add, it is not for drawing attention to yourself. Maybe some of you carry some graces you can actually see in the spirit and say to people by the spirit. It's not to draw attention to yourself. Oh, they have to come and see me tomorrow. You are now gathering. People even use that to break churches up. Yes. Because they feel they are graced. They can say, come and see me. Before you know, he's holding a special fellowship in his house without the church knowing. You're not like you need to serve church. You just need to tear the church up. And if I find out, I'll tear you up too. Actually. Not in a bad way. In a very calm way. I've had to do that a few times. One case of people just... there was a particular case of someone... I don't know whether she meant bad. I don't think she meant evil though. She was sincere. But she was gathering such a thing around that place. She gathered such a thing and they would come. They would go for evangelism. I told her to call. I said, stop it. Stop it. He says, sir, are you not encouraging ministry? I'm not encouraging division. I say, if you are so graced to evangelism, why don't you show up for church evangelism? Because all those people, both had, they were not showing up for church evangelism. So, the evangelism on Saturday, they will not show up, but their own is like on Friday, they will go. I get what I'm saying now. There's prayer meeting in church, they won't, but their own prayer meeting, they will show up. I say, stop that rubbish. Stop it. When God has graced you in a certain way, it is to strengthen the church and not to tear it up and to cause division. I'm going to say some things today that will help you. Because, you know, sometime, I don't know that God will allow me to talk about that. When I was teaching you on God's pasture, do you remember? When I taught on God's pasture, I mentioned sheep and wolves. I wish God will allow me just small today to give some insight into how to identify certain people in church. But I don't know that we'll get there today. But let's be going. Are you following me? So I just noticed that and I say, stop it. Stop it. Some of you will carry and it's already manifesting some strong graces. Are you getting the point? Do you know one of the guys that, and this is very serious, one of the guys that I read about, that I read his books on the prophetic. I talk about him a few times, Chris Vallotton. How many of you know him? He wrote School of the Prophets. Now, he's not a lead pastor of any church. He's pastoring under Pastor Bill Johnson. But he's a serious, when I mean prophet, prophet is like, serious prophet. Chris Vallotton goes to, he can stand up and the Lord will send him to a president of a nation that's never been to. And he will take flight to that place and request to meet the president and give him a prophetic word. Does it many times. That's Chris Vallotton. But he's not a pastor. Not the lead pastor, as it were. You get the point? The gifts of God that God works at is to serve the saints, to serve the church, not to tear it up, not to cause confusion, not to give prophetic words that are confusing, not to tell people the reason you are not married is because this, this, and that. I get to the point. You know, some people even give prophetic words that me, pastor, I don't give. As a person, I cannot call. I tell you, God says you should marry this person. But some have gone to that extent in the church. Huh? Come on, Jeremiah, I say, ah. As a matter of fact, people have tried to give me that kind of prophetic word. I'm going to shun you. When I got married, the Lord said, I say, stop that. Stop that. Shun you straight up. Because those things begin to cause confusion. Do you know whether the person you are telling Brother Jeremiah that he should marry? Do you know if that person is in a relationship? What if that person is done with his prayers or with her prayers and is planning wedding as we speak? So you now plant. There's a particular case. I don't want to get into details. There's a particular case where an engagement that had gone very, very far was dissolved because the prophet said.
Yes.
Are you following me? Dissolved. We did everything to help. It couldn't be helped. Everything ended. Because prophet said. And these people have prayed. They have prayed. The believers have prayed. Believed God. Everything ended.
We must be very careful that we don't use this. I told you guys I was invited to preach in a church. And when I asked the guy invited me, why are you bringing me to your church to preach? Because it's better than urgent. And he said, because the church is scattered. I said, what's scattered? He said, a prophet came and scattered our church. The prophet will call a brother out and tell the brother, you are fornicating. And we call the sister out and say, brother, you are fornicating on 12th of this date. He did it to many people. I said, and he was correct too. He was correct. And people are like, you know, people like that kind of thing. But the church didn't survive after that. Because both the people that were called out and their parents and their brothers became too embarrassed. I get to the point. It was so bad that they called out one particular guy. The guy said yes. Say, I forget it. Yes. You say, social person? Yes. You say, you want to repent? Say, it's your business. Yes. You can imagine. So by two weeks, one month after the meeting, the church had gone half, more than half. Because you know that kind of, you know what? The next thing is stands up in church, gossip. This person. See them. Then gradually, church began. Have you ever experienced this kind of thing in any church? Anybody? Let me see. Have you ever experienced it? Have you seen it shake up in any church? Yes. People will leave the church. Because people like gossip to start with. You see, I said it. He won't call them and say, you remember the baby last month. God is coming for you. He was just crazy. And people think, that's the prophetic, the move of God in the church. He's exposing sinners. God is not about to expose any sinner. I can tell you that was strong oppression of familiar spirits. Now, take it or leave it. If I'm attacking your favorite prophet, sorry. That is strong oppression of familiar spirits. God's spirit doesn't work like that. He says, God reveal people's sin? Yes. He can. So can you prove that from the Bible? Yes. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, you've had 5 husbands. Even one you have now. But after Jesus finished with that woman became an evangelist and went and brought others to him. She didn't leave the church. Because Jesus didn't even tell her those things in the presence of the disciples. That's why he sent 12 of them to go and buy food. I get what I'm saying? Yes. He knew the woman was coming. You know, I've talked from that story. He knew. So he had to send all of them out and spoke to her one-on-one. Because there is still the human nature in all of this you are doing. I hope you know, right? And there are a few cases where you can call people and correct them publicly. I've done that a few times here. Why, but then? And people like those things. I've been in those meetings. They say, this one, you're a witch. They call us and say, this woman is a witch. They say, hey. People say, yes. And when I was wondering, as I sat there, my heart sunk. My friend was like, why are you not talking? I said, what if it's your mother they called out there? She said, my mother is not a witch. I said, what if it's your mother? Will you return here tomorrow? How will you guys walk out of this church? I feel what I'm saying now. Yes. So what if it's Lily, which I say, is that woman? We don't know that woman. People don't talk witches overnight. Who is even a witch? What is even a witch? Let's be very careful. The Bible says rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. A rebellious person is a witch. So do you want us to go to that extent? I can point 15 witches now. From my head. Be very careful. It is to serve. I get to the point. You see to serve. Some of you, God will open your eyes, will show you. And can I say this? As you grow, God will begin to show you certain things out of trust. Yes. There are things I know people because God trusts me. He trusts how I will handle it. He trusts that I'm not going to make a mess of it, that I'm going to lead those guys out of the problem. God can trust you. Be the person that God can throw such information. That God can point at a brother to you and tell you, that brother is living in this sin. I'm telling you so that you can stay in prayer and pray and help. Not for you to start telling everybody. Say, do you know that? Forget that he was doing your welcome as usher. That boy. Then God, and most times, God will not trust you again with those things. He says, but you keep seeing it. A familiar spirit will take over that particular assignment. If I will talk to you about this familiar spirit seeing in fruit, some of you will be very shocked. But I again said, you can be 1 minute in the spirit and the next minute in the flesh. And I totally agree with him. I totally agree with him. Are you following me, friends? You should serve the saints. And when God is already using you mightily, please don't use the gift of God to draw attention to yourself. Don't do that. God uses you to heal somebody or to do this or do that. You now begin to say, ah, come and see me. So see into my life. Come and bring tithes to me. Come and visit me. You know, you now begin to feel like you are something. So first is, he said, if we are to prophesy, let us do it as a way to serve the saints. Are you still here? Then the second thing he talks about in the King James, he said, if we minister in ministry. How did NLT said, if your gift is to serve others? That's verse 7. If your gift is to serve others. So there are people. So what I call this, the second way we can serve the Lord in the church, you know, serve the Lord in love and all of that, is what I call sacrificial service for the benefits of the saints. So this particular point now, everything falls under it. This is where media falls in. This is where technical falls under. This is where sanctuary cleaners fall under. You are serving others. And I had to add sacrifice to it. Sacrificial service for the benefit of the saints is also a way you serve the Lord. So the fact that this place is looking arranged, some people came earlier and arranged it. They made that sacrifice to come and serve you, to put this place in order. That is working in love. That is using the love they have in them to serve you. So sometimes I teach, you get up, you go to the toilet, you use the toilet. The reason you're able to go do that is because, are you following what I'm saying now?
Yes.
So you can hear me now because somebody, it's their job. They came, they had to come here earlier than others to make sure the generator was turned on. Are you getting the point? Now that is serving. Sacrificial service for the saints. It's one of the ways we show we love the Lord. Serving the saints. This is where the choir also fall in. Ushers. Sometimes after this meeting now, you carry your bag to go. Or some, maybe some, even we have all this away. All this national conference. When we're done, as you are going, you see the choir. That's staying back. One side, rehearsing. What are they rehearsing? How to serve you in the evening. Sacrificial service. Then don't just stay back. All those pure water things that you littered all over the place. Sanctuary cleaners begin to pick it. That's serving you. I get what I'm saying now. And the ushers are setting up the seats. Technical are doing sound check. The question is, you, how are you serving the saints? Because that is the proof that you love the Lord. That's the proof. One of the things that I've always found very difficult to do. You know, there are people that join this church, and I like them. They meet me and say, sir, I really want to start serving. I don't know how to sit down without doing anything. That is me. It's very difficult for me to stay in a place without doing anything. Just come in and sit down and be watching. It's against my faith. I can't deal. Well, people, that is their faith. That says against them. So people, that is the real faith. They just want to sit down and do absolutely nothing. Sneak in, sneak out. And then once we raise songs like I Love You, that song voice for your man. Without your off-key voice, you love the Lord, you will serve. Right? Sometimes you see, we'll finish service here, you just rush to go home. Do you know some people stay here, not people that stay here to tap our Wi-Fi. I mean, some people really stay here till 5. You see information that sometimes what they're doing, they're arranging that we're trying to sort data. We're trying to sort data. How many people were in church? Why is this not happening? All of that is service. Sacrificial service for the saints. And it's good I'm teaching this now. It just came to my heart now. Because this season of the church, that sacrifice will be made in many ways. There are a few places that are not in church now because there is a place I've sent them and they're working there now. As I'm talking to you. They're not here. So they're missing this session. Or maybe they're streaming it where they are. But that is sacrificial service for the saints. So you're here getting it. But some people are there. And as we grow as a church, it even gets bigger. Once we get a supernatural hub, I've said the exalted keys, for instance, will be expanded. You see what they do with the keys? That is service. But it will be expanded. Because there will be the nursing mother session. And there are people that will be assigned especially. Because we don't want our nursing mothers staying with their babies and not learning the word. So the nursing mother session, where we were designing it, you know, I was talking to mom, they were planning it. There will be a nursing mother session, actually, and a so comfortable place for the babies to sleep. Then there will be staff that work there. You get the point? So you as a nursing mother, if you are in the choir, you still be singing in your choir. If they need the attention, they will call you. I get the point. It will be very comfortable. But that women don't have to sit in church carrying their children. They can sit in church comfortably. So if an usher is, so those people now, throughout the service, what do they'll be carrying babies? They back this one. That's what they do throughout the service. Are you following me? Then you now have the toddler's class. You have another, all of this, it's all of, and this is service for the saints. I know for some reason, people that don't serve, feel they are better than people that serve. That's the deception. So because I serve, you are doing somehow. But I say, please sit down here. You don't realize that not everybody is fully born again. Some they are born again and not finished downloading. So they say, sit down here. Just come and sit down where they say, you know, when we got saved newly, when we started ministry newly, we have grown, oh. We have grown. Today we encounter problems with people, and I see them shouting, and I'm just walking in love. When we started, not this church, Champions Foundation, when we started that ministry, we knew that people didn't like us, and it was fine. So it was clear to us that you didn't like us. So when we come to you, you bring fire, we give it to you back. Where to work on flyers. I know when once people see church, they feel they can intimidate church. You understand? The guy, we told him, we didn't like what he did. I said, I don't like this work. He said, you have to take it like that. I said, me. I think it was Pastor Chidi and Brother that day. I said, I should take it like that. He said, do you know who I am? I am this. I belong to this. I'm an erudite. I'm this. I said, erudite is great. Because I try to tell him, I can't be an erudite. You think erudite is called? Who is an erudite? Huh? Leave that one. So I'm an erudite. I said, today, I told him, do you have toilet in your house? All these papers you printed, we use it for toilet. We worked out with all those things. We have grown. Love is working in our hand now. So I'm saying there are still some ushers, so at that level where I was. So that's when they say sit down, just sit down. Because it's just all this teaching on love that I'm doing that is just working in their life. Because I know a lot of people have grown. You know, I'm looking at some of my ushers. I know when Miracle started working as an usher. She was a first class usher. Because those days you do anyhow, you stay anyhow. Glory to God. You know, the beauty of service. You are not better than anybody because you are not serving. In fact, you are less. Just that we love you in the Lord, so we are serving you. And it's fine.
You must do things sacrificially for the saints. There should be something you are doing. This is an important season now. By the time we are moving to supernatural hub, there may come some Sundays who will say, we need people that will go and begin to lift things and move this into that place. Some people will run away. And then, once we come to that hall, once we begin to sing, it's so amazing. Their voice will begin to rise. I love you now and always. And okay, one angel just standing by the side saying, Chai. This one thinks he can blackmail God. The love of God is clear. It's practical. It's evident. Very evident. You serve. And I grew up really serving in church. At least if a pastor's kid, you serve in church. Now somebody did a skit and he showed how pastor's kid serve in church. Pastor's kid is in the choir, he's in the usher, he's a technical person, he can play instruments, he can sing. He's also the media person. Then he interprets for the father. He's preaching. You know all of that. But it's such a privilege. You know one of the things he works out in them, by the time they get to their secular place of work, they're very ambidextrous. Very, very. Because I told you, there's nothing that you pass through that leaves you. They can do many things. So why people are just, they say, we need someone to come. I say, I can do it. They say, you can do everything. They say, somehow. Somehow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he said, if it is service, let us serve. What next? If you are a teacher. So that's another way we can serve the saints, and we should serve the saints, by teaching. By teaching. Now, I'm doing this now. I'm teaching you. But then, every believer should teach. What I mean by that is, you see, as you are, there's somebody you should be following up. And I expect you to be teaching, at least small things that you are learning. Be teaching the person. Teaching is one of the ways to serve. I'm serving you now by teaching you. The preacher teachers are serving you by teaching you. You should be able to serve people by teaching them. Because teaching is real service. Because nobody is paying you. I get the point. So I'm going to ask you, who are you teaching the word? Is there anybody currently that once in a while you share the few things you've learned with the person? You say, where do I find them? Very easy. If you preach the gospel to someone and you begin to follow them up to church, that already provides an opportunity for you to teach them. Yes. When you come to their houses to invite them to church, you can share, you know, I've talked about visitation. You can just share a 5 or 10 minutes instruction with them and all of that. Should be able to teach. Remember what I said yesterday. Everything I'm teaching you now, God wanted to teach somebody one day. So teaching is one of the ways we serve in church. We teach the word. Now I'm serving you now. Many of you will still grow to the point where some of you will step into full teaching roles. Like the fish that just now are doing a full teaching role, right? Who must teach? Team leads must teach. The basic believer that follows people up must teach them. Because if you're not going to teach, why am I teaching you all these things? It's not just for you. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? So, of course, there are people that will be given an assignment in church to teach specifically, but I'm saying all of us too must teach. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Just the basic things we know. Apart from sharing with unbelievers, even your fellow believers. Even the person you're trying to follow up. Teach them basic things. For instance, you go out there to preach someone, person that doesn't, I don't pray in tongues. Run a 5 minute teaching on tongues and get a filled with the Holy Ghost immediately. Yes. Every believer must be trained on how to do that. So that when you are inviting people to church, they are born again, they are filled with the Spirit, they are talking in tongues because you've done the job. So once they come in here and we are singing and we are praying, they are praying with us. You must be taught how to teach. The Bible said, 2 Timothy 2 verse 23, it said, you must be apt to teach. Apt to teach. Apt to teach means you must be willing and able to teach. Are you following me? Apt to teach. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And every believer should be like that. Every believer should be like that. Willing to teach, able to teach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like where you are showing shows apps to teach, but why I quoted 2 Timothy 2, 23 and 24 actually, but you are still right. Because there's a reason I quoted that one. Because this one is talking to a bishop. If I quote this one, you would have said that saying bishops, but me, I'm not a bishop. But 2 Timothy 2, 23 and 24,
Paul was just giving general counsel. Hallelujah. He said, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Then verse 24, he said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. So every servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. Are you following me? Every servant of the Lord. Every servant. So when he was talking about bishops, he also said bishops should be apt to teach. So in other words, what is required of a bishop is required of a servant of the Lord. Wherever you classify yourself, you should teach. Are you following what I'm saying? So you must be able to teach. So this one is not, I'm not called to be a teacher. You must be able to teach. I'm expecting that if you've been in this church for 1 year or 6 months, you should be able to teach. At least explain basic things from scriptures. Explain how to pray in tongues. Explain how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Explain how people get saved. Explain righteousness. Explain justification. So when you meet someone and say, I think I'm just a sinner, my sin is just too much. Explain righteousness by faith to the person. You should be able to do that. Now, it's perfect when I see believers that cannot explain basic things from God's word. So you must be willing. You know, NLT of that verse 24 says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. He must be able to teach. That's apt to teach. Able to teach. Do you know? Now, let me say this. This is one major reason why after every service, I must ask you to share with your neighbor what blessed you. Now, that thing is not ceremony. Yes. And some of those of the people that are coordinating service, the closing service, should learn that too. It's not ceremony. When you say people should share with people what they learned, once they start sharing, don't say, it's okay. There's a reason. Let them share. Give them at least 30 seconds. People should be able to learn. Because with that experience, you are teaching. You know that's teaching, actually. I'm trying to train you. You should be able to communicate what I shared with you. That's what I'm trying to do. You're able to communicate what I shared with you. That when you go, you can be able to tell it to somebody. Are you following me? Must be able to teach. Able to teach. So that if somebody strays into this church, or maybe comes into the church and is living with questions, and can't see me, can't see any pastor, and meets you and says, I don't even like, oh, why am I doing all of those things? You should be able to teach. The Bible said, you should not fight. It's not, don't quarrel. Somebody just walks into the church and says, ah, that church, ha, I can't come back. You say, why? He said, I'm wearing trousers. Ladies on trousers? No, I'm not coming back. Now, if you are the person he met or she met, you should be able to teach. Don't say, well, you know, pastor, I've taught us on this thing. No, it's not really bad, though. And I think it will look good on you if you wear it. No. You should be able to teach. Are you following me, friends? Able to teach. I say, no. I don't see it like that. Why don't you like trousers? I say, the Bible said, he said, okay, fine, let's open it. He opens it. He said, can't you see? Able to teach. Everything shouldn't get to me. I feel what I'm saying. I mean, that's why you see, I don't teach you like patience. I teach you like students that will become teachers. So that's why when I want to teach, I say, well, the Greek word for this is this. It appeared 40 times in the Bible. You're wondering, why are you telling me what's my business? There's a business because you're about to be a teacher too. If I'm just sitting you like someone has to know something, I'll just tell you 2 plus 3 is equal to 4. 6 plus 6 is equal to 12. So bye-bye. No. I have to show you how we came about it. So you can also teach me. Are you following what I'm saying now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So you must be able to teach basic things. I came to that church. Everybody just speaking in tongues. I don't like you speaking in tongues thing, no. Because for me, in my own understanding, speaking in tongues is a gift. And not everybody has it. Me, I don't have it. If somebody brings kind of case, do you have what to tell? Can you teach the person? Or will you just tell the person, well, be there, I don't speak in tongues. Yeah, I'm missing a lot too. The Bible said you must not quarrel. Everything is not quarrel. Teach. I get to the point. Teach. Somebody says, I don't like church. Why? Always taking our money. You see, church, once you enter church, it's money. It's only money. What are you going to do? You know, some people, that's the problem. We don't have many teachers. or many people that have been trained to teach. We have people that can quarrel. That's what is on Facebook. He says, anybody ask for your own money? You said, do you use to give? Is it your business that we are giving? That's not the point. This is what it comes into personal space and makes this kind of statements. What do you say? Do you have scriptures? Can you explain to the person the biblical perspective of giving? Have you learned it? Can you explain it? Or is it just to fight? You said, don't give to your babalawo. Me, I give to my God. And the person will now say, why are you giving? Is pastor God? You say, yes, pastor is my God. Can't die. No. You know, people can be cantankerous. And they think they are defending the faith. Defending the faith is that you must be able to teach. Are you what I'm talking about? So, when people bring, like, if somebody brings that thing to me, I will say, well, you are making strong points, but let me ask you a question. Do you, if I show you this through the Bible, will you believe? But he says, okay, if I see it in the Bible, fine, let me explain to you. You will be so shocked that many people don't actually believe in anything. They're just following the trend. They just need somebody to explain things to them. You know, Nigeria is just a place of trend. The year we said we are all going back to our roots, all of us went back to our roots. Everybody. Then one day, a musician, I think it was Anthony Abasi, said, let everybody post Jesus on their DP and be status. Everybody that went back to their root began to post Jesus. So actually, people don't have many problems. They just don't know anything. So you must be able to teach. Are you following me? Must be able to teach. There's a recent one that trended recently that really made me laugh. Oil, yes. We do get an AI feature when I put oil on. That thing really made me laugh. I was like, people are not serious. Even people that return to their root by pouring oil on their head. Is that crude oil? Explain. I get what I'm saying. Explain. You know that people that walk into this church, even last week it happened. After they come, one guy came here and told me, sincerely, when I came here, I started talking. When I came here, immediately he climbed the stage, I told myself, it's all these money hungry pastors. Yes. He said, so I was just pressing my phone when we were talking. But when you went for the first 15, 20 minutes, I readjusted and I sat up. I was like, okay, this one is saying something. People are just to give explanation. Many people. Are you what I'm saying? Yes. I've seen that happen many times. You said, no, that people you invite to the church, they come in here very skeptical. After some time, they say, oh, wow, okay. Because we just need answers. We have places where people don't teach nothing. So we gather them in church, we're just shouting, yeah, the louder the amen, the louder the supply. And the people just are confused. That's why you must be taught so that you can teach. Are you following me? It's one of the ways you serve the saints. You show you love the saints by teaching them. Teaching them. That's what we do here. Teaching them. Sometimes not just on stage. Sometimes one-on-one. You don't do it like that. Why not do it this way? Don't do it like that. Do it this way. No, this is not the way. This is the answer. And people can just be so liberated. So with the little you know. Sometimes who you explain it to is even a fellow church member. And he's confused about a few things. You say, no, that's not how it is. Look at it. He says, okay, wow, is that it? Everyone should be able to teach. So at different levels, we should be able to teach. Apt to teach. He said, be able to teach. And what did he say next in the NLT? Be patient with difficult people. So there will be difficult people. So you must patiently teach. Patiently teach. Pastor said that working miracles, if they can really work miracles, why wouldn't they just go to the hospital and see what about the beggars on the streets? Why have they not also them walking? Why are they still blind? Someone has to teach them. I agree what I'm saying now. Well, that is the way these things work. Teach them. Now, of course, I know there are people that don't want to learn. There are people that don't really care. They just want to be saying that thing they're saying. But once you begin to teach, you are sowing seeds
of the truth in them. I believe that one of the major revivals, I've been saying it for long, that will happen in these last days, is a teaching revival. A teaching wave. And that teaching wave will produce many strong Christians. Because people will be able to know the how of certain things. I get to the point. Are you following me? Yes, the how of certain things. Now maybe you just see, you know, and well, let's leave that. I was going to touch something now, but let's leave it. So teaching, that's the next thing, right? So to be able to teach, must be apt to teach. Every believer must know how to teach. Must know how to teach. Must know how to teach. I should be able to send you to somewhere. And I am so sure that anything you encounter there, you can explain it to them. Yes. You can explain it to them. Amen. We came to your church. I brought my son to your church. He was healed. After 2 weeks, the thing came back. That's how all these pastors are. They are using juju. They just remove it small. And later it will now come back fully. Do you have an answer for that? Can you explain it to the person? Because these are real life issues. And it's troubling people. What are you going to say? Is it for you? Is your own pastor that is using juju? My pastor that I know, juju can. Is your own father. In fact, don't come to church again. If that's what you're saying about, no, everything is not fight. Say, no, it's not juju. It's not juju. That's not why he came back. Show them in the Bible. The Bible shows that this can happen. So what I'll have to teach you or teach your son is how to stand in faith and resist the devil. That is how it works. Are you following me? So that everywhere we are spreading this light. Are you following the point? Spreading this light. This light. Well, light, I mean this truth. Spreading it. Spreading it. Spreading it. Spreading it. Some people reached out to me on this content creation thing I mentioned yesterday. One of them was talking about how God put it in their heart to start creating a content. Creating content where they will be sharing just short ideas on some of the teachings we are doing in church here. Just a page. And I thought about that. That would be very wonderful. Do you know the kind of questions people have in their head? Let me tell you, if you do a thorough analysis of the God on Censor series we did here, many people will be set free. Many people. Just that simple God on Censor series. Imagine a content creator begins to do that. And begins to answer, why? You know, we must teach. You know, there's something that has been trending recently. I didn't want to say anything about that because it's a popular person. I think a popular musician posted, Jesus did not die for you. He died as you. And people are going mad. Why did he say that? That's nonsense. So, what would I have done with that? Because this is just about wisdom. You are posting in the public. Are you posting to teach or to get it? So what should have... Two things that would have been done differently. There is one word that should have been added to that statement that will change everything. What's that word? Just. Jesus did not just die for you. He also died as you. That will answer everything. But Jesus did not die for you. I'm trying to say, just that would have changed. That would have changed everything. He didn't just die for you. Maybe not that just and also. He didn't just die for you. He also died as you. Second thing I would have said is, when you post that kind of thing and the traffic starts coming, be there in the comments to explain and defend what you said. Because you are doing it for the gospel. I've not gone to it. I don't know that he's doing it. I'm not saying it's about the guy. I've not been to the post. I just want to be screenshotting it and posting. So I don't know what that is. I'm just saying that's what you should do. The scripture is for teaching and not for argument. It's not to prove a point. It's for teaching. It's for doctrine. Doctrine is explanation. Are you guys following me, friends? Explanation. So everybody under this ministry must be a teacher. So people look at me and say, sir, your calling is teaching. That's not true. Let me make it very clear to you. I'm not called a teacher. I just teach. Why? Because everybody must teach. Sir, what's your calling? Don't worry. You'll find out.
before I get to 80. You know what it is? Call a teacher. But you should teach. You saw that place I showed you. Judas and Silas, we are prophets. But they went all over the place encouraging believers, teaching them. That's what prophets do. Prophets teach too. Apostles teach. Evangelists teach. Though the evangelists will do more of teaching the basis of the gospel, but you should also be able to teach the other things. Because some of the people will counter you. That's why everybody must be taught. Let me put it this way. Everybody must be trained as Christian before you are sent as minister. Because teaching, for instance, is the basic training you give to every Christian. It's not a minister thing. So when they see people say, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, I'm a prophet. You know he's in kindergarten. Because every believer is a teacher, is a Sunday school teacher. To even start with. Are you getting the point? Say, I'm not an NYSC holder. I'm a prophet. I'm not doing NYSC. I'm a prophet. Oh God. Glory to God. What next? So after teaching, first of our time, the next one, it talks about encouragement. King James calls it exhortation. So there are another way you serve the saints is by encouraging them. Are you getting blessed? By God, God will raise you to encourage, to help and strengthen other believers in the faith. We must do so with love. We must do so with love. Are you following me? We must do so with love and in love. So we should be able to send you to go and be an encouragement to other believers. And you will go. Are you following me, friends? And you will go. Encourage others. Strengthen them. It's not the way to serve the saints. Let me say this to you. We are all here. Everybody, at one time or another, will have a down moment. One of the ways you serve believers in that situation is that you are an encouragement to them. I agree what I'm saying. By what you say. Yes. So it's one of the ways to serve the saints. I don't want to go further into it. Although there are people that will be sending specifically for that. But be an encourager. So how do you mean? Do you know, if somebody loses a loved one here, we should be able to send you, and by the Spirit, you say words that will encourage and get that person out of the mess. You don't get there and the person is crying, both of you are crying. Since I was overwhelming. Have you ever met an encourager before? Have you ever been in any mess and you really met a real encourager? If the person is done talking, it's like they lifted you out of the mess. You even begin to wonder, why was I down a few minutes ago? There's such a grace in the Holy Ghost. And you should know it. You should carry it. Such a grace. The person will use spirit-birthed words to lift you out of. I've seen people, you know, and this is not psychology. It's even the psychology. You know, that's what the friends of Job didn't have. Imagine Job is a church member. And in one day, he lost all his children. In one day, he lost all his businesses. In one day, all his house got burnt. In one day, he became sick and his wife left him. And we send you to go and encourage him. What will you say when you get there? Chimo. Is this how it is now? Jesus. Are you sure he didn't commit anything? Because that's the only thing his friends could understand. You know, that's what they were saying in the Bible. They were telling him, it's your sin. But there's no way you can explain that all this will happen to somebody in one lifetime. You've suffered the suffering of 15 people. So let me ask you, if I send you to go and encourage Job, what will you say? Who wants to say something? They just say, I want to know, what will you say if you get there? This is Job with everything that has happened to him. When you get there, Pastor has sent you. When you get there, what are you going to say? I recommend you listen to this message. That this. What do you think you will say? Give me, if you want to talk, you can raise your hand, I will give you. Okay, give Pastor Maka. I want to hear. Get the mic quickly. You can begin to talk while they get the mic. Yes. Okay, get Job to pray with you in tongues. What if Job doesn't want to pray in tongues? Yes.
Also, thank you. And then, apart from praying in tongues too, we will also declare God's word. But we will gist random gist by the Holy Ghost. Because it helps, yes. It's not any kind of gist. And it must not be taking the nations for Jesus, but some kind of random gist can really help. So three things. Random gist, of course, by the Holy Ghost, then pray in tongues and we'll declare God's word too.
So if you are, but you have to give an encouraging word before you leave, what will you say?
Okay, the encouraging word, of course, by the Holy Ghost, but one of the things, one of the focus of the word is getting Job to know that God is not punishing him, reminding him that God is not punishing him. And that things can change very quickly. Yes, okay. Sir.
Okay. Who else? What would you say? Who will say something? Okay. Give Bro John. This is a practical thing I want to see. Because it's real life thing. You don't pray for evil. It's real life thing. What do you say? You know, we see it may not be death we are talking about it. Sometimes you get to somebody in class, a believer, both of you all grew up together, studying together. Person writes the MB and fails the MB. Writes it again, fails. And doesn't come to church again. Just in his room, morning. And I say, again, what will you say when you get there? Is, are you the first to fail? So what do you tell Job if you meet Job?
Okay, in most cases like that, when you come, the person is actually, most people, they used to cry. Especially if you are a friend, even if they've been trying to hold it since, once you come around and the person knows, okay, this is somebody that knows me, they will want to cry. So at first, I will actually let the person cry. Then, at a point, I'll be like, are you not tired of crying? First of all, exactly, this is the reaction all of them will give. The reaction of, don't you actually care, don't you understand what happens? And once the person gives that reaction, you have more opportunity to explain. Not explaining, first of all, you need to remind them that mostly what I always do is remind you of what that I've been teaching. I'll be like, things go wrong, yes. And I always, this one thing, I always, most of the time, I'll say, I don't know what may have caused this thing. But one thing I'm sure of is that it is not God that brought it. And since it is not God that brought it, God is always ready to help us out of it. So since he's not the cause, he's ready to be the solution. That's where I will start from.
Okay, that's wise. That's good. Who has something else? Okay, give Brother Jeremiah. This is a practical thing we're doing today. Because encouragement is a real thing. Have you ever needed encouragement? Not all of us need once in a while, but have you ever needed real encouragement in your life? Did you get it? Have you ever expected encouragement and they discouraged you? Yeah. Talk.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Concerning this particular scenario about the girl that fell.
Job.
Okay, Job.
Okay, sir. It's Job I'm interested in.
Okay. In Job's case, I will actually say that first of all, I will make it clear to Job that this is not from God, actually. This is not God. That this is not God, and then that this is not God punishing him, and all that. So, and I always tell, I will make emphasis on the fact that one of the things Job should know is on the fact that when God restores, that it will be much more than what he lost. Yeah, the thing that you have
said. At least it happened in the book of Job.
And everything. But the main emphasis on the fact that this is not from God. And then, it depends on the kind of person Job is, though. Because I'll find the one, talk one-on-one, flow with him, yes.
To know who Job is.
Just to know the
so
kind of
person. So, you want to say something about the person that failed MB?
Yes, concerning that person. Okay, what I'll say is we'll do a very good analysis on the fact that, see, it's not church that made you fail. that's the efforts I'll make. It's not church that made you fail. And then I'll actually have to use this opportunity to even master that course self. Like, master it very well. Like, you know, find the ones. And the one thing about our failure is that failure is not the end point. You have failed is that you just quit at the long run, but then you shouldn't give up on the issue and stuff like that. Like,
okay. Fair enough. Well, few things we've noted here, but I'm going to say something. It's good to talk a bit about the character of God and reassure the person about the love of Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit in such situation. But at the end of the day, this thing is strictly by the Spirit. There is nothing you are saying now that have not been heard. So when you are in that kind of situation, it's a ministry of the Spirit. So trust the Spirit to give you the right words to speak. Because imagine everything people are explaining. So all of us are hearing this. So when it is not the person that knows all these things you are saying that has the problem, when you are talking about, say, you know, I know this and you want to say now. You tell the person it's not God, you say, yes, it's not God, it's the devil. He knows, he's trying to say, he say, but you know, God is telling you, yes, things can change very quickly. I understand where you're going to. He said, but you know, God is changing, he said, for his reason. I'm getting passing through this season, share for a reason. Imagine you are, have you ever been in that kind of situation? Where all the messages that are preaching to you, you know it. You say, yes, I get what you're saying. Spirit words. Spirit perfect words. So you don't go casually. That's what people that go to where people lose people don't know. See, where they lose someone, they're just talking from your head. Just saying every nonsense. Tell the person, you should be happy that your father died when you were 15. My own father died when I was 7. Now, I heard that practically. Yes. Say, my own father, he said, let me even tell you, the other person I knew, he was during the war, they shot the father. And the person sincerely wants to encourage me. Have I ever lost someone and they've come for condolence? The kind of things you will hear. Now, this is why it's a ministry of the Spirit. So why I relate this, when I say church is important, it's not because any other person cannot come and encourage you. If you have friends from school, they can come around. If you have friends from home, if you belong to a meeting of your village people, they can come when things are bad. But the crowd may not really bring encouragement that you need. That is the truth. Sometimes the crowd is even a discouragement. Why are all these people looking? What are they doing in my house? I get to the point. Sometimes it is, I've held 1 minute conversation with people on the phone, and then everything just changes. And sometimes I don't even know what I say, but somehow you've been able to lift them. Now, every believer must master to do this. Are you following me, friends? You must master it. And trust that God will use you to do it. Because there will be seasons that we all need it. Are you following me? There will be seasons that we all need it. It's not the way to serve the saints, so. One of the ways to serve the saints. You serve them. There are practical cases I wanted to go into. But because even all this, we are talking about heartbreak. When they break your heart, no, it's not the end. Let me tell you, heartbreak is real and it's painful. Are you following me? And with all the knowledge in your head, heartbreak is very painful. You know, you think it's not painful, don't worry. It will not happen to you. Because you are wiser. But if your heart has ever been broken, like really, really broken, like hot breakfast by 6:45 a.m., if they ever serve, you will know. Sometimes it looks like your heart is about to fall out. You'll not be walking up and down. Become a poet overnight. Just walk up and down and say, what is this world about? I look deep into the world and I see emptiness. Yes. And I'm joking with you, but it's actually a real thing. I wanted to ask if you ever broke your heart, let me see your hand, but some of you will not agree. But I've never broke your heart. Real breaking. People are blessed too. There are real things. How do you deal with a guy that invested his life to train a girl in school?
6-7 years, and after all of that, the girl left him and married another person and said, if it's about the money you gave me, I can pay it back 7 times. I know a case like that. Did I beg you to train me in school? Did I beg you? When you said, I even told you I didn't want, but you insisted. Yes. So you guess the person that you think you are forming, you say, what's that? Because of woman, now why they cry? Really? It's not just woman. It's crying for woman, lost time, wasted years. Do you understand? And other women that he would have married, that came his way that he ignored because of this. That many things he's crying for. I'm telling you. Snap out of his jaw. Come, let's go and drink. That's what the world offers. And then I'll take you out and start buying you drinks. Buying you drinks. You now begin to misbehave like a man. I come back. The next morning, the problem is, right? In fact, you first hangover the next morning. When you are done dealing with that, the issue is still there. And before you are out of the heartbreak, you've damaged your liver. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been over drinking. Now, this is where the ministry of the church comes in. We should be able to send you. Because it's not me that will show. I won't show up for all of those things. But I'm able to say that somebody's generation that has been failing somehow. I say, you go find out what the problem is and restore that person. You'll be able to get there, and in 10 minutes, you restore the person. Yes. Say, I have that ability. He said, I have the love of God in me. And I will share it with others. Restore the person. That is that grace, oh. Ah, that is that grace. Has anybody ever encouraged you and you need to supernatural? Let me say, honestly, ever felt that way? Who encouraged you? Huh? Oh, where you lost your dad? Oh. Okay, Sister Joy. Encouraged, yes. Who encouraged you? Oh, that's beautiful. That's powerful. It's not just about loss of someone. How do you deal with Job? How do the man that loses all his businesses? That's grace that the Holy Ghost gives. I know one thing, I told you one day, the comfort of the Spirit is not just a pat in the back. So you are not just that. What when you encourage that person, it's a supernatural thing. If it's a business that was going down, suddenly everything will begin to get up. God will just pat us on the back and say, it's well, it's well. It's not it's well. It's a ministry of the Spirit. So be available for that kind of thing. Be available for it. That's why in church, when we hear that a brother is sick or is in a tough time, don't say which one. Get there and be an encourager. Get there. Be an encourager. Speak by the Spirit. Encourage the person. Don't take advantage of the person. Encourage the person. Hallelujah. Have your seat. We have a short time to go. We are doing this. Are you getting blessed? Then the next thing is giving. Giving. So giving is another way we serve the saints. We serve the Lord. We give to the church. We give to the saints. We are serving. Are you following me? Yeah. Giving. By this verse, you can already see that there is a ministry of giving. There's a special ministry of giving. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7 tells us that there is a grace of giving. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. There is a grace. So giving is not just a carnal thing or a regular thing. It demands. Let me say this to you. You see everything we've been mentioning, and this is very important to say this. All everything I've been talking about, not everything, some things I've said, you can do naturally. Maybe serving, you can cleanse it. But what makes it ministry is that we need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to do it. So even giving demands a special grace from Jesus to do it. How can you explain Barnabas selling his land and his house to come and give to church? That's grace.
And you must want to serve. So every time we are doing things, we are giving. People say, what's my own? One of the ways you show you love God is that you serve the saints with your money. Serve the church with your money. Yes. Serve the church with your money. He said, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What was he talking about there? Giving. Abound in this grace also. So giving is grace. Give me like NLT or Amplify Classic, any of them. It says, excel also in this gracious act of giving. I will teach on the ministry of giving, but it's not today. Ministry of giving is a full ministry. That some of you will, that some of you have specially. By God's grace, I carry that ministry very strongly. That's one of the first things I had to let my wife know. When we're coming together, I said, carry, I give, I spend my things carelessly for people. One of the, I've said, one of my version of that, God can keep you restless all night for something. We've had to put up a very valuable property that we have up for sale so we can give. It's my wife and I. If I mention it, you'll be so shocked. For sale. Are you following me? Now, that demands some grace. Not sure, because you don't even know half of them. When this month was coming, I remember last week we sat down and we're writing all the things. I told you, but a bulky part of all the money that came in for LMP registration was given. Right, Mr. Dochuku is here. She can tell you sometimes because they're the one that handled the book sales. Even as at 2 days ago. I see sent an account numbers. Send this a ministry, not even our ministry. Not even, I'm not sowing seed. Somebody that just said, this will have a venue challenge. I said, that money in that book, whatever, about $200,000, I said, send it. Now, that is actually the life. That's how you serve the saints. Are you following me? People don't like it, people don't like that ministry. But many of the Lord is saying in your heart, very, don't play with it. And when you do it, don't look at who is giving or who is not giving. So for this financial hub, I've given 3 million. It's still coming to my heart to turn that 3 million. Do it! Yes. Do it. Are you following me? One of the ways you serve the saints, you serve the church. It's one of those ways you show that you love the Lord. You serve. Like, if you look at that, say, as you excel in faith, give the speakers knowledge, all of, as you excel, you also excel in this one. So, 2 Corinthians 8 tells the whole church to excel in the grace of giving. But then, Romans 12 talks about it as a special ministry. That's why I said when I was starting, all this is I'm teaching, you must do. But then, there are people that have it as special, do you get the point? For instance, there are people that have a special ministry of teaching. Yes. There are people that are specially called to be prophets. But we all must prophesy. Is that true? There are people that are specially called, even in that service, there are people that are in the choir, there are people in the usher. The fact that I'm not in the choir doesn't mean I will not sing. I'll sing. There are people that are sanctuary cleaners. The fact that I'm not there does not mean that I will not be responsible. That if there is a litter around my area, I should be able to pick it and keep it clean. I don't have to be a sanctuary cleaner to do that. I feel what I'm saying now. Yes. The fact that I'm not an usher does not mean that if this place is scattered, I cannot arrange it. So there will be special graces, special callings, special assignments, but we must all do it. So there are people that carry this special thing with giving, but we all must be givers. And one thing, if you find yourself in that category that you have this press in your heart to always give, please do it. Because what is going to happen is everything, not just about money, everything God calls you to do, He graces you to do it. The major grace a giver needs is to have money. You always have to give. That's the truth. Yes. So if God calls you to, if God says, I want you to go and we are building spiritual, I want you to go and be carrying cement there. One of the things He will supply you for that is strength.
physical strength for it. So I always believe I will always have because I have to always give. I get to the point. I have to always give. So you see people like us now, you know, when people see how we give, sometimes they even imagine that we have more than we actually have. Yes. I think we have more than we have. They think we have more than we have. I started paying people's school fees before I could find my feet financially. But it just came strong in my heart. You know, the first lady I said, the first person I said, I'm going to pay your daughter's school fees. She said, oh, thank you, God bless you. And that girl was in primary school. I said, I'm going to pay it until she's done with school. Not primary school, with school. So the lady was like, ah, sir, the problem is the school want to put this girl. But the school they wanted to put her is not like 30K. Say, it's 100 or something. I said, nah, to be sincere. When they said that, I said, ah, Jesus. I don't go talk spoil. But I said, well, it's fine. Because I know that if God put it in my heart, I wasn't doing it for show. I didn't say it on stage. It's not on stage that I looked and said, hey, sister, I'll pay your school fees. It was just in our corner. I just came there. So I said, okay, I said, the Lord put it in my heart to take care of this girl's school fees. I know that if God put it in my heart, then he will bring the money. And I was so sure. And he has never failed. Are you following me? He has never failed. That's why if I make my partnership in church, I'll be giving this amount to church every month. There is no month God will not bring the money. Yes. There is no month. What I've found about giving is that giving doesn't reduce anybody. That's the truth. You know, we started doing something last year, but last 2 years left in the church, where a percentage of our church we send to my spiritual fathers. My spiritual father and all of that. A percentage of the giving, every money, every offering, every partnership you give, a percentage goes. That act has not reduced our finance. It has actually skyrocketed it. You're doubting it. Look at all we've been able to do in 1 year. And all you are still hoping to do in the next 3 months. I mean, next 2 months, Steph. I mean, next 1 month. It's not up to 2 months again. It doesn't reduce anybody. One of the things the Lord is putting in my heart, he has been dealing with me about that. From next year, we are going to expand the ministries that we as a church, we give money to. From next year. As some ministries have started showing me, we're going to be sending every month. We'll set it every month. It just goes to them. Now, why all of this? Well, you know, one day, one of these people that Lord led me to help in this, to assist financially in this Enugu, or just in Lagos. And the Lord said, I was telling mom, one of the people the Lord said to me, he said, do you remember when you came into this town, when you didn't have anything, no pastor, nobody reached out to you for support? I said, yes. He said, you have to be that which nobody was for you to others. He said, because you've gone through it, you know what it is like. You have to be there for ministers I'll point out to you. I said, thank you, sir. One of those ministers, when I called him, he told me, when I spoke with him on the phone, when I just said to him, I said, call me now. I've never spoken to the guy before. Not in my life. But I know he just sees me as a minister. So I just, he's a younger, but I said, reach out to me. I said, what's the problem? He said, is there a venue challenge? I was specific. He said, when you chatted me up, I just got up from my corner where I was crying and questioning my calling. Now, that's the mind-blowing thing about the ministry of giving. So, that thing God said I should give him was not just about me giving him 10 naira or 15 naira. It was also a way for God to confirm to him, I called you. Are you following what I'm saying? It was the word of God telling him, I called you. I sent you. You didn't send yourself. So that's why sometimes when we give, now this is why I'm saying, why I told that story. We don't actually know how much our giving accomplishes. For you, just gave out 50,000. For somebody, it might be everything for the person. Not because of the need he has, but because of what he does to the person. Do you know what it is like for you to be going through a mess and somebody comes to you and says, the Lord said I should give you this money. And you didn't tell anybody about it. What does it do to your heart? The first is, ah, so God even, he didn't even receive my matter. You know that it does something to you.
does something to you. And it happens to even me as a pastor. Sometimes I've just spent the night praying, Father, we have a project. We pray for income. We pray for increase. I'm praying for the church. After praying for the church, next morning somebody sends money. You know what it does to me? It lets me know that God is committed to this calling. He says, but you've always known. I need to know again. Yes. I say, so God, you are here. God, you are here. So, that's why I'm going to say this to you. When it has to do with giving, work with timing. Do it when God said you should do it. Because it's not just about the money. It is about something more that God wants to accomplish with that giving. If I had spoken to that brother 5 days after, it will not mean to him what it meant to him that moment I spoke to him. I believe what I'm talking about here. That moment. It works with timing. So when the Lord said, do this, carry it out that time, it means something. Imagine you are praying. Now, look at this picture. Has ever happened to you? You are kneeling down praying, Father, I receive supply. And then you get up, there's an alert on your phone. Has ever happened to you? How do you feel? You feel like God was in this room when I was talking to him. See, imagine that person that sent that money, delayed to send it. I sent it 3 days after. You would have still received it, but there is something God wanted to use that giving to shift in your heart that he missed. You see what follow I'm talking about here? Work with timing. The things of God work with promptness. Obey God promptly. Imagine somebody is coming to church tomorrow morning, and he's saying, Father, I need supply. And that tomorrow God says, give that sister 20,000. And he says, I go down. I go run now. Then you give it to the person on Thursday, or maybe 2 weeks after. The person will be grateful. The person will say, thank you. The person will even rejoice. You've obeyed God, but you didn't obey him. I follow what I'm saying. God has a bigger agenda. God is bringing this to my heart very strongly. It works with promptness. That's why when we're planning programs, we normally say, don't send your seed for the program when you can. Send it when you should. Yes. Like all this financial hub we are building now. As a matter of fact, there will be the building committee will be doing a presentation for us tomorrow. Because we are starting the project fully on Monday. Shout louder. So they make a presentation. They will tell us how far they've gone. So tomorrow's service. So imagine God is saying, give the money now. For some of you, by this thing I said, you can relate why God has been pressing in your heart to do a particular giving in recent time. This is why. Now you might not have known that this is going to happen. But I'm just saying it. You know, I say, is that why God has been blessed? It works with promptness. Be prompt with it. When God puts you out, act on it promptly. I've mastered this, and I'm still trying to master it. Because I've seen it change people's life, not about their finance. Do you think the money you give is about the last moment you gave them? What is that? Imagine the person that told me that God told her last, that was 2024, God told her 2023. To be saving up money, to give me that money in the first week of January. Yes. And that was the exact week that we kicked off our wedding planning without telling anybody. And God said, I will supply. That supply, that week, I said, God said, I should keep this money. He just made me know that God wants us to marry. Are you getting what I'm saying now? He let me say, God is committed to this marriage. Not you won't tell me. That person could have delayed and sent it in February. Are you what I'm talking about? Work with promptness. When the Lord puts it to your heart, do it. Because it's always sweet to have results like this is what I was praying about and this is what I got. Have you been trusting God for a shoe? Say, Lord, I just wish I can just change my shoe. You know, so that's God is just supernatural. So that's in your mind, you are dressing up in the morning and say, child, me and this shoe again. Well, one day I'll just change it. Just a random thought. And that evening somebody gives you a shoe. You just feel like God heard you when you were saying that thing in the room. Yes. So let me say this to you. For many people,
It's not like God have not heard their prayer. It's just that the people that he sent to them are slow. They don't know how to walk with promptness. You are an answer to somebody's prayer. And someone is an answer to your prayer. Are you following me? You are an answer to some prayers I'm praying in this church. Prayers I'm praying about finance in this church, you are an answer. But it's whether you will be prompt with response. Hallelujah. We have 20 minutes to go. I want to close by 2:30. Have you been blessed? So it's a ministry we must carry. And let me tell you. Now, don't take certain things for granted. I just said that on the Holy Ghost. I didn't want to talk about giving to sense, but God is bringing me, but don't take this for granted. If you see that someone has a bad phone and it comes very strong in your heart to give phone to the person, don't say, "And maybe it's not God that led it to me. Maybe it's because I saw his phone." The first question is, why did you notice the phone? There are many others that didn't notice that phone, but you noticed it. And not only did you notice it, you noticed it and it refused to leave your mind. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It's disturbing you. It's disturbing you. There's a reason. Sometimes let's turn it over to God and say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, provide this. Once you provide it, I'll do it." You know, I got somebody sent me a message like earlier this morning. I don't know if I understood it well, but it sounded like that she prayed to God and asked God to give her a job. She has a job. Asked God to give her a job for supernatural help particularly. And that job came last month. And the job is in dollars. And she said, what she was telling me is, till the project is over, every single dime of the salary that comes from that job will go to the project. Yes. I get what I'm saying. That is how to. So why did you notice it? So sometimes let you say things to God and say, "Father, you see this case. If you bring the supply, I will take care of it." And please make sure you do. Because when he brings supply, it's not like you don't have your needs. Well, that's the problem. When he brings supply, you don't have your needs. You say, Let me give small. No. If you bring supply, I'll take care of it. Are you following me, friends? God will use us mightily. It's a ministry of giving. Are you following me? Barnabas had it. Barnabas had to sell his things. See, it tells you that you can actually have to give. You might actually need to give, but you don't have to give. He needed to give, he didn't have, so he had to sell his things to give. Amen. So let's move on from it. I'll just say two more things. Hallelujah. But did this bless you? Yes, it's very important. Now I'm talking about giving to saints, but that's not the major thing. You know, that's not the only thing. You know, there are three kinds of giving we do as believers, taught by the word of God. Three major kinds, encouraged by the New Testament. One is giving to the Lord. That is through his church. We find that all over the Bible. If you check the Old Testament, you will see it in things like all these offerings that they do. So then that's another kind of giving, which is giving to the pastor, the leader, the one that feeds you with the word. That's what we call in this church prophet offering. Some call it different things. In fact, that is majorly what the tithe was in the Old Testament. So you see the Bible says, "Bring the tithe into the storeroom that my house may be full." That storehouse, the idea of the tithe, that the people will not lack, the priests will not lack what to eat. Then there's a third kind of giving, which is giving to the saints. This free giving must be honored. And God can lead you in any direction. In fact, by the time I teach you on this ministry of giving thing, I will show you that there are people that will be sent specially. Do you know? God will raise you. There are billionaires I know in this country. that have a special assignment from God to give to men of God. Not to manipulate them, or not to control them. I mean people that have built houses for over 30 pastors in this country. Secretly, but you don't know. Yes. Now, they do this ministry of giving, but that's their specialty. They see any pastor, they show up. Some of them don't even, you know, there are people that use that as manipulation, because once you start doing that for a pastor, you can control him. Some of them don't know. There are strong believers in their church. Before they do it, they even tell their pastor. Say, sir, God is leading me. I know some of them. Leading me to do this here. He said, don't worry. And they will go and do it. That's why you need to be under a solid pastor who is not, is he jealous? Jealous may be the word, or who is not petty or selfish. Say, you want to go and build a house for another pastor. God led you. How much do you want to spend on the house? 200 million. Give me 100. Build small house. No. There are pastors, that means there are people I know that you see them, how they help the saints. Do you know there are billionaires in this country who, to their name, they've built over 50 churches from scratch to top, different denominations. So when I'm talking about God leading you, it's not just about helping fellow saints. So, because the thing is, whatever you do for your pastor, you are doing for the church. Because the state of the pastor will affect the church. That's what people don't realize. If you serve your pastor, you are serving the church. If you pray for your pastor, you are praying for the church. Let me say this, to shock you a little. There is more demand in the New Testament to pray for the pastor more than every other prayer in the New Testament. Take time and check it, you'll see it. Paul kept saying, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. There is more demand. Because, you will not see the Bible say, you don't see much of the Bible say, pray for more growth of members. You don't see all those things. But say, pray for the pastor. Because he is the custodian of the flow. So what you do for the pastor, you do for the church. So God can also lead you to give to your pastor. Not just me. I mean even the pastor that's happy with me in this place. God can lead you. One of the things Lord put in my heart is, this December, there will be an appreciation service for our pastors and ministers. Not me, as excluding me. Pastors and ministers, especially this December. Are you excited about that? Yes. I know every December they plan something for me. Fine, but this one, I'm planning one for them. So I'm going to tell how it's going to happen. I'm not doing it to make people happy. I really don't care about your emotions. But I'm doing it because it's a culture we must learn. I feel what I'm saying. There should be that. So what can lead you? Like now, Pastor Mara is planning her wedding. God can lead you. Yes. God can lead you. So you know, I just feel like doing this. Lord said I should get a car. Amen. No, God can lead you to do that. Yes. And sometimes, you know, we think it's just our mind. You don't know how supernatural some of these things are. It's when pastors open up to you. Not every pastor likes to open up. When they open up, and you know what your responsible giving did, you'll be so shocked at how that 22,000 naira you sent to that pastor was what was used for dinner that night. You'll be so shocked. You know the problem with this pastor giving thing? The pastors that are rich, very, very wealthy, are very loud. So they make it seem like every pastor has money. Do you know that 90-something percent of pastors in this country are very broke? Are you aware? Very broke. Like broke that they cannot eat two times. Now, you don't need to fight. Just go to your village this December. See all those pastors. You know, when you talk about pastors, you're thinking of the big churches, the big guys. You know, go to the villages. See pastors that... How many of you here are pastors' children? Let me show you. You're a pastor's child. Okay. So is your father a billionaire? But when they begin to say things like, pastors are rich, I teach church. That's why pastor's children will just be looking at you. He says, is my own father part of them? in those churches and even beyond the churches, God needs to raise men who will go and assist and be of help so that these men can focus and do their work. Me, I made my choice early. I want to be part of the rich pastors. Do you understand? I made my choice very, very, very. When God called me, I said, I want to be rich. So you make your choice. Which one? But there are some that will not be. Just that you make your choice. I'm part of the... I'm one of those rich pastors you talk about. And I've been seeing myself that way even when I didn't have a dime. But the point is that even with the supply I have now, that supply is still that God raised people for me at the end of the day. But there's no point trying to claim as though you used to pray and money used to rain from heaven. I've not been in my room and money is raining from heaven. I'm not a ritualist. I don't have any wardrobe that I used to open and begin to shout, Agatha. I don't have anything like that. So when I also say God has prospered me, it's what I'm saying is that God has raised people for me. That's what it is. Now may God raise people for you. But then may God raise you for people. Yes. May God raise you for people. And it's, you know, sometimes, you know, my pastor's meeting last time we were there, he mentioned something along this line, and he pointed one of his pastors. I can tell you, this can be some very small things that God has put in your mind. And he said he has never addressed that matter. But for years, beginning to 3 or 4 years, every water they drink in his house, that's in my dad's house, is the pastor that supplies. He found out the brand of water they drink. Every before it finishes, he has brought another one. That's been going on. I said, Papa said he has never talked about it. The day he now said it, he said, I'm saying it because your allocation has come. Put the heavy impartation of that young man. And the results we show. Now, that's a very small thing, but it's just thoughtful. So I'm talking about mission of giving. It doesn't mean that you are going to be a billionaire. See, every water. See, if Father the water did every time before it finishes, it comes. Before it finishes, it comes. I didn't discuss them, it was him. And so imagine the expense that has taken off my part. It may be small, but it's big. Especially this generation where you don't just drink any kind of water. Water is a big deal now. I hope you know. Not any such a water now. God will prosper you, Sha. And all of us. So it's not drinking any such a water you see on the streets. So are you against such water? Yes and no. Yes and no. What I mean yes is if you are going to do it well. You can't guarantee how clean some of these things are. And that's why if you have kids, they normally tell you your kids when they start taking, they should be taking such water. Did they tell you? You should know. So that you're an old man, so when you take it, your stomach can. So now that water is a bit, so it can be anything. You can put it in your heart. Just doing it secretly. Hallelujah. It's meaning to write. The next one is leadership. I won't say much about that. Leadership is another way we can serve. Leadership. And this leadership I'm talking about is not lording it over people or ruling them. Real leadership. So some of you, God will bring you to that place. So any day you have a privilege to be a leader in the church, count it as service to the Lord. And do it with the right heart. And I'm talking about leadership by influence, not leadership by lording it over people. Then you must do what I say. Leadership by influence. Leadership by example. Leadership by, you know, by every form of maturity. If you have an opportunity to lead, not all of us will be there, but some of us will. If you find yourself there, you must do it as service to the Lord. It's one of the ways to serve the Lord. One of the things I learned very early in my Christian life, and I want to say it to some of you, except the Lord says so, don't be quick to turn down leadership positions in ministry. Except the Lord says so. And most times when the Lord says you should turn it down, it is because you are not part of that association. Because I've had cases like that. Yes, I've had cases where, I've had two occasions like that, where a ministry called me. I wasn't a pastor then. One called me from outside the country, another called me from Port Harcourt. And the one from Port Harcourt was very tempting because I used to attend their meetings. They wanted to bring a branch of their, you know, an extension of their work here in Enugu. They were calling me to come and lead it. I didn't have the leading from God to take it. I said no. Honorably, I declined it. But if it's a ministry you are part of, never decline it as a position. Even if you feel you don't have what it takes. In fact, it is giving that position that actually gives you what it takes. Yes. Never decline. Now, don't crave that position. Don't start craving or campaigning or politicking for it. But if it comes, never turn it down. I mean, even as you're small, I say, I want you to go and start a cell, whatever. Yes, sir. Just go. I feel what I'm saying. Never turn down. There are many of you I'm looking at now. You became this, as strong as you are because of a position that we gave you. Yes. We are handling strong things now because we gave position. And sometimes, because leadership position is a way of God believing in you. So take it and learn. And do it with every commitment. Now, what did the Bible say to leaders? If God has given you leadership ability, what did he say? Take the responsibility seriously. That's how to take it. You don't treat it with levity. Seriously. So when I see unserious leaders, I wonder these ones. Because let me even say this to you. Every time you are made a leader in church, in any ministry, take this from me seriously. You are writing an exam for the next level of your life. Don't forget this thing I said. Every leadership responsibility is a test for the next level. That next level you are getting to is another test. Because once you do well, let me say this to you. There's a kind of promotion. There's a kind of promotion they do in civil service in Nigeria that God doesn't do. Civil service in Nigeria, they promote you for how long you've served. So after 1 year, they promote you. God doesn't do that too. I get to the point. God doesn't do that. But that's the idea of promotion. So somebody comes to church and feels, I should have been this because I've been here for 7 years. If you like, stay for 70 years. So when God puts you in a place just like I am, if God has put me here, I know that there is more God wants for me. This cannot be all that God has for me. God forbid. God for really bid. I get to the point. So, but I know that what I'm doing now, that's why I told you guys, God loves us equally, but doesn't trust us equally. So, you see what I'm doing for the Lord now, it is me telling him that the next one you give me, I'll also do it well. So many of you that they put you in departments, you don't show up. You are not serious. You are giving everybody trouble. How do you think God is going to trust you to give you more things to handle? Well, that's the problem. Didn't you observe the process? I've taught you this. The process that God had to take the disciples through. The disciples started from somewhere. When they met Jesus, at first they were not doing anything. They were just following him. With time, he began to give them roles that did not involve human beings. Leading people. He began to give them pack bread. Go and buy bread. Gather the fragments. That's what they were doing. Are you following me? Gather the fragments. Make people sit down in groups. He started from there. It is when he takes you through that and you are proving faithful, he can now hand over. So today we handed over equipment to you. It's falling in your hands. We hand over even handkerchief to you. It's falling in your hands. And you want God to hand over human beings to you so that they can spoil. Are you not thinking about it? Yeah. We give you some books. We say, just take care of these books. You say, yes, sir. 1 year after, they say, where are the books? Sir, you don't understand. You know, termites. Now, actually, that's how God operates you. He gives you things. He will send Peter, oh yeah, go and prepare a place. You know, when I read that place, I've shared with you guys, where he sent Peter to go and prepare a room for Passover. Do you know what Passover is? He sent Peter to go and prepare a room and to cook. Passover is food, though.
on the living bread. He said, go and prepare it. So Peter prepared the room and the food, the bread they ate. That's what they did. Peter. But God was taking them on a journey. Are you what I'm saying? That's why they themselves, when it was time for them to start picking leaders, that was the same thing they did. The first of the leaders they picked, how many were they? Seven. What was the first thing they gave them? To share food. They took them through the same thing Jesus took them through. The same thing. Because they have to share food. They have to be able to deal with cooler and rice before you can deal with people's lives. So all these things they put you in departments. You don't show up for rehearsal. You don't show up for things. You come around whenever you like. That is already failing a leadership test. That's what I'm just telling the truth. And maybe they might be putting you in positions because your church or your center doesn't have much hands. Newsflash, growth is going to come. And once growth comes and more hands come, you'll be bounced. That's actually the truth. Say amen. I'm not threatening you. I'm telling how God works. And whenever God puts you in a place because there are not much hands, prove to him that you deserve to be there. It's just like when maybe they sack your MD, not MD in church, your MD, like managing director, or maybe they transfer, person retires, and they say, start serving as acting MD. They know you're not qualified for it, so they're looking for an act and for a proper MD. Prove to them, are you what I'm talking about? That you should be there. Do so well that they begin to reconsider that we actually need this MD we are looking for because the sales have increased under this lady. Yes. But there are some of you that are in centers that are smaller than Enugu. And because you are there, you've been given some of you are carrying three responsibilities. Some of you are usher, you are decoration, you are this. That is God placing demands on you. Prove to him. Show him that he can trust you with that. Are you getting the point? Before Moses chose Joshua to lead Israel, he sent them to go and spy the land of Canaan. When they came back with their results, Joshua had proven that he can handle it. When everybody was shouting, "Go, oh, that land is bad," Joshua stood up. Some of you don't understand how powerful that story is. You know why? Joshua was the youngest. He was a small boy. He was a small boy. He wasn't up to 30. People they sent to spy the land were 60, 70. He stood up in the midst and said, "No! Don't talk like that. We can take that country. They are like bread." That's what he said. He said, "Those men be like bread unto us." I get to the point. That was him proving, "I can handle this. I can handle this." And God trusted him with it. Now when they say you are part of a department, always show up. Always show your commitment. You are actually learning leadership. So when God gives leadership responsibilities, you can take it seriously. Can't you see how, don't you see how seriously I take my work? And I take my work seriously where I'm not reporting to you. I don't answer to you. If I don't show up, you will not beat me. The worst you can do is to go. You won't beat me. But I know I report to God. So I have to take it seriously. I have to take it seriously. You must serve the Lord. Amen. As I've said, the last thing the Bible talked about there is, you know, NLT calls it kindness. Give me King James of it. NLT calls it kindness. King James calls it cheer, he that showed mercy. And the general word is actually talking about hospitality. Hospitality. Right? This is not just about giving. This is about care. And I'm closing with that. This is about care. Right? God will ask you to remind that you care for saints in whatever ways. Sometimes with money, sometimes with any kind of care, with encouragement, with whatever. You know, one of the things the Bible said concerning deacons, he said deacon must love to have guests in his house. You know, there are some of you that are not very hospitable. And people come to your house, they are not coming back. Right? Have you ever been to any house that is very, very hospitable? Where is that? Huh? Oh God.
apart from my house. Hostility is a nature you imbibe. Because it's one of the things you do to serve the saints. When people come around, they should be comfortable. You know, the Bible said, when Paul was telling Timothy the qualification for people that will be taken into the care, I mean widows that should be taken care of, he said that widow must have washed the feet of the saints. You know what it means? She must have been hospitable to the saints. See, that's how, you notice, I'm going to make a statement. This is why, let me say this. The Church of Jesus Christ today, we do a lot of sympathy. Say amen. It's good though. But the Bible doesn't have much of that sympathy. What I mean by that is, if someone loses the husband, and the church just comes and say, we're going to take care of you, and all of that. Paul actually says that it's not everybody that loses the husband in church that should be taken care of. Paul believes, the Bible teaches that people should qualify for things in the church before they have it. Are you guys following me? Give me that verse, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me just give you the general view. 1 Timothy 5, verse 9. Give me like NLT. Let's read together, everybody, if he comes to excuse. Are you ready? Let's go together. So, what is the first qualification before you begin to support a widow in the church? 60 years. So, you cannot be 40 years and say, I'm passing through a lot. Paul said, nobody should support you. You know, we did a lot of sympathy in church. Paul says, no. What's the next one? Was faithful to her. Mm-hmm. Somebody in our quarry. Paul says no. Next one, verse 10. Because of the good she has done. What else did he say? Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to strangers and served other believers humbly? Has she helped those who are in trouble? Has she always been ready to do good? I can tell you, Paul is not saying anybody should, but let's leave this matter, shall we? That's the things that churches do. You feel churches are wicked and not wicked, just obeying the Bible. A church can decide that one person is going through something and they shop for the person, the next person is going through and they don't shop for that person. And they are right. Because there's a lot of entitlement that happens in the church. We see someone that doesn't show up in church, he comes once in a while, and there's suddenly something happens, so he wants us to show up for him. Paul says no. A matter as serious as a widow, he says no. In fact, in verse 11, he said younger widows should not be on that list. Because their physical desires will apply their devotion to Christ and they want to remarry. So he said because they are eventually going to remarry, they might want to remarry, they should not be on the list. So in other words, there are qualifications now. But it's not only marriage. He gave other reasons too. So a woman that has not been very serious. So you see, when Dorcas died, Peter showed up. What did Peter do when he showed up? He listened to the people. And they began to show him the clothes that Dorcas made for them. He said, okay, let me go and raise that one from there. Let's leave this matter. So it's not everybody that qualifies to be in the church. But you know, in the church, we're sentimental today. Everybody just mental health. If you don't help them to affect their mental health, well, let's leave it. What I mean to that, this widow must have been able to wash the feet of the saints, take care of the saints. So God expects us to be hospitable. So if people are passing by your house, or you come around people, please be hospitable. It's one of the ways you serve the Lord. Be hospitable. People come around you, let them feel hospitality when they come. And Lord said, I should emphasize this a little. Care for the saints. Wash the, King James said, the must have washed the feet of strangers. The feet of the saints, rather. So washing the saints' feet, that's hospitality. Caring for them humbly. People should not come around and they feel this dangerous energy. Or they don't feel loved. You know, one of the things, I can correct you, but if you come around me, you just know that Pastor Henry is full of love. You can't doubt it. And that's how we are even raising our house to be. Hospitable. That when you come around, you will not want to go. And even if you go, you will want to come back. Not because of the food we are giving you, but because the place is just smelling like home. Let your house smell like home to strangers. Let your environment, when people come around, they let it smell like home. So where it's coming, when people say they want to come and stay in your house, let it smell like home. Don't wake up in the morning and say, everybody, hallelujah, we're going to the stream. And it's not bad though, because if you're staying in somebody's house, you actually help to fetch water. But as well, you do it. Are you following me now? He said, if you do not fetch water, no bathing for you in this house. You will carry your body like that and go. See, I'm fetching the guests are sleeping. Ah, let your house be like home. Say amen. He said, that's not me naturally. That's why I'm saying. This is now you supernaturally. Let it smell like home. When people come around you, not just in your house, be hospitable. What is the general way we can explain hospitality? What is hospitality? Say something. It's not hospital. Okay, somebody said accommodating. Beautiful. Accommodating. What else? Welcoming. Warmth. Just be like that. As a woman, people should not come to your house and not eat. Yes. Are you following what I'm saying now? They should eat. Say amen. No more we're having pastor's meeting or minister's meeting. I always tell them, we either do the meeting in church or in my house. They want to come to the house. Because if you come, you're going to eat. Well, well, well. That may stop. So I will not finish. But I'm just saying, that warmth, even if it is water, it is water. Let them drink water at least. Or juice. You know, juice. Are you following me, friends? At least something. One of the things we do in our house is we try so much. Every time we come there, there should be something that we can use to welcome a guest. And I'm not talking about food, though. You know that somebody can give you food and you cannot eat it. It's an environment, it's an atmosphere you create. They can give you food and the way they are looking at you, you cannot eat it. There should be warmth in the atmosphere. When you come, baby, you should know that you are welcome. How are you doing? Laugh with them. You know, there are a few things. I don't have time because of our time. I'll close. But there are a few things that you should, that people do, that make people not to feel welcome. I can give you one example. Imagine you come to someone's house, person welcomes you, gives you stuff in the parlor, and leaves, all of them go upstairs. And you stay there, you stay there, you stay there, you stay there. You now sleep and wake up. Then I come and I say, hey, you're still here? You're well, oh. You just tell them, I was on my way out. And just basic things. What it means is that there will be need for a little sacrifice for you to, you know, come and stay in the parlor with them. Or if you're a woman and person is a woman, it's a medication to come, let's go to join me in the kitchen, so I'll be talking. Just something that will make the person feel. See, this one part of serving the sense, yes. So. Be someone that can serve sense. Are you blessed? Something that I wanted to tell you today, but. It's 2:45. So 15 more minutes. Glory to God. To serve the saints. So I'll just say one more thing. I'll list 4 things. No, 15 minutes actually. 4 things that will help you in this service. 1, this service must be done zealously First, zealously. By zealously, I mean passionately. Everything I've mentioned today, don't do it dragging your feet. Do it with passion. Do it zealously. Zealously. Right? The Bible tells us in Titus 2 verse 14 that the grace of God has appeared. Is it the first weapon? No. He said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us? Yes. From all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So we must be zealous about good works, zealous about serving in the choir, zealous about singing in church, zealous about praying, zealous about reaching out. All those things we teach, be zealous. Right? In giving, be zealous about giving, be zealous about serving, zealous about teaching, zealous about leadership. Or be zealous. Do it passionately. That's number one. Number two, you must do it in oneness of heart. What it means is there should be no personal agenda. Nothing like, I'm going to start caring for people that will like me and I will now control them. Mm-mm. There should be no personal agenda. Purity of heart. Purity of heart. That's the word. Not oneness. Purity of heart. You must do it in purity of your heart. That must be pure. You're loyal to the calling. You're not trying to use your prophetic gifts, for instance, to prophesy to people and they will not start liking you. You now form your own fellowship. Or just purity of heart. Are you following what I'm saying now? Or you're not trying to, you know, get people, I'll care for them, so that with time, when I talk, they can no longer say no. You know, people can use money and gifts to control people. That's an impure, that's not service to the Lord. Purity of heart. They say, you see this church, they just made me usher. They go collect. I was so positioned, guys couldn't see me. Now, I've seen many impure motives. Say, they'll be seeing me. They'll see me. They'll notice me. Notice me. So when Zoe is coming, you see the person is working so hard. Not because he wants to look good to serve the Lord, but he knows that people are going to come. So you know, you notice your motive is already corrupt. It's no longer a labor of love. It's no longer a labor born out of love. It's now a labor of selfishness. And there's no reward for that. Just like me as a pastor. You see, Pastor Henry, as a pastor, I should not, it is wrong for me to have any personal ambition or personal whatever for everybody here. And for anything we do. Because you can be corrupt too. You can easily be corrupted. All this thing I'm doing, I can decide to be organizing many meetings. So that, you know, people can organize programs because there's another program in town and they don't want their members to attend that program. That's a very impure motive. People will come, they'll be blessed. But you, there's no reward for that rubbish you're doing. We must keep our motives pure. Pure hearts. No personal agenda. No personal motive. You're in this church, you're loyal to the calling. Loyal to the man God set over this place. You're not trying to gather things for yourself. You're not trying to draw disciples onto yourself. Just pure hearts. Do your thing, and you're fine. I used to tell my pastors that pastor in other centers, I said to them, better have a pure motive. Don't think that as people are joining church, you are throwing them to yourself. That's why if they transfer you from the place, you want to die. Because you've built a monument for yourself. Yes. It's impure motive that causes such things. If you just feel I'm here to do the work of anything they feel I'm done, I will just go. But you know, when they transfer people, you start hearing things like, that place they transferred us from, we had a very big farm there. That were farming, they're not removing. So that's the problem. You get the point? Oh, I've gotten so used to the place. It will be, okay, kill every personal motive and ambition. Kill it. Let me even say to you, one of the wisdom of God behind moving people from department to department is to check their hearts. That's one reason. Because somebody might be in the choir doing so well, but the reason she's doing so well is because in that choir they're seeing her. By the time the Lord now leads us and will say we are moving from the choir, and the person thinks the next thing is usher, we start moving into the department where you'll not be seen. Transport team. Just make sure boss is bringing people to church. That's all. But they singing is my calling. It's not your calling. It's just pastoral ambition. If your passion is just to serve the Lord wherever, simply, you say, isn't our transport team? Oh, yeah. Oh, whoa. I get the point. That's the point. There's no personal ambition. Just let me do your thing. That's a heart you must carry. Are you following me, friends? That's how you must carry. That is why, let me say this. That is why everybody that God, I thought that LMP, anybody that God uses, before he gives you a personal placement, he will try you with many things. There is nobody that starts off as one. That's why I've done mission. I've done evangelist. I've done ministry. I've served as usher. All of those things, he keeps moving you around. Is your heart being tried? To show that wherever, Lord, I am not after anything. I just want to do what you want me to do. That's all. So if you say that where we are now is to go and start a fire, I'm going to do it. And that's why God, thank God for the training I have. So mission now is a big day for me. Say I go for mission, why will we be sleeping on mats? No problem. If that's what God wants, I'm going to do it. Don't have any personal ambition. Have a pure heart. Are you following me, friends? Anything God says you do, just do it. The man of God shared with us many years, some time ago, how they went to a crusade. As young ministers, they were four or so that organized the crusade. Powerful crusade. Like, they had, you know, sick healings happen. And they came back to their church. Their pastor was above the crusade. So they came back, they were so happy. And they were gisting their pastor. Ah, pastor. The man said, oh, wow, that's great, that's great, that's great. That reminds me, before you guys even came, the toilet was dirty. I was thinking, I told you guys to go and clean it. He said the first time he was shocked. So this man don't know that he's talking to some generals. He said God used that thing to deal with his heart. So he acted, the man said, people can no longer clean toilets. They said, no, sir. But God began to deal with their heart. Because that's how God works. This thing, because there should be no personal ambition, no personal anything. Keep this heart clean. Nobody's paying us for this we are doing. It's only God. Abi? It's God. So just anyone said you should do it. That's how I see it. So if tomorrow the Lord says, don't pastor the church again, I will stop. With all pleasure. I will not even feel bad. I'm not very sincere with you. I know that's the natural human thing of I've been attached to this work, but I'm not going to feel bad. Once he doesn't bounce me from ministry, that's when I will not like. But that one means I failed. If he says, don't do anything for me again, just go. Ah, that's where there is problem. Well, if he says, don't do past again, and I want you to go and start coordinating, shut up, just go and do it. Before I became a pastor, I've done children ministry for long. So when I see them dealing with children, I know I've done it. Not 1 year, a very long time. Yes. I still see some kids I taught in children ministry today. They are grown, some of them are married. Because I taught children, I started children ministry for my SS1. I mean, just three rather. I was teaching children. As young as I was then. Are you following the point? Yes. And it's just been like that. So just have that purity of heart. Anyone God said we should do, fine. Say from now, you don't want to be carrying generator and going to service it. You put it on your head and you're running to go and service it. That's the heart God wants. Are you following me? And number three, without eye service. Without eye service. Ephesians 6 verse 6. No eye service. No eye service. No eye service. What is eye service? Being a man pleaser. They're not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Take this verse seriously. As the servants of Christ. Some people are serious when their leader is around. And on serious when the leader is absent, because they want people to notice them. Don't serve with eye service. To start with, if you serve with eye service, there are certain things God cannot commit to your hands. You know what it means? It means you serve well only when there are people to appraise you. So God cannot put you somewhere where you cannot be checked. Let me now give this correction. Let me give this correction. Last year, I told the pastors, last year, during 30 days of light, how many of you are here last year? Yes. Leaders will remember, I think workers were also involved in that. I don't know what the workers were involved. We drafted out something. I'm talking about eye service. Why I shouldn't do it. I drafted out something, a reporting system. That every day you join prayer as a leader, as a minister, you should report. Do people remember? Who remembers this? Yes. Did that involve the workers? Okay. Pastors, ministers, and leaders, report. So throughout that last year, once you join prayers, you join the CCM, you report. So I was getting that report daily. If I not even daily, as in like 4 times in a day. So we had all those reports. We had the reports for people that any day you come for titles of light, you must report all leaders. This year, I deliberately did not do it. Now, I remembered it. I didn't do it. Why? I wanted to see if leaders have grown beyond being monitored. Are you pulling what I'm saying now? Have grown beyond being monitored with touch. Say, hey, did you come? Did you not come? We must go beyond that. Because it looks like we do it when we are under the radar. And when we leave the radar, we now stop. Your life should not be like that. So you begin to see many leaders, we're not even joining the prayers consistently. But if I bring that register now for all the workers, all of you will be joining every day. You must grow beyond that. I get what I'm saying? You must grow beyond that. You must grow beyond needing cane. Yes. You must grow beyond that. Where you do things for you. Don't be focused on man and pleasing men. Focus on that. Do it for you. Grow to the point where the motivation is coming from the heart. Don't be a man pleaser. And I hate eye service. That's even the first thing about me. I hate, but I'm not even minister. I hate eye service. And because the thing about me is I have the grace. I don't know whether it's, you know, I don't know whether it's Bible grace. I have the grace naturally to see through people. I can see through you. So once you begin to play those things, I'm just as in there's this masquerade in Osaka. I used to say, Igrimbem ne leg. Do you understand it? What does it mean? You are hiding. Yes, I'm just seeing you. That's what it is to me. You are just doing your own. And I can see through you. I want to believe it's a grace every leader has. If you're a leader, you can see through people. So when they're just trying to ask, trying to please you, trying to say, my daddy, sir. Good evening, sir. Ah. Pastors around you are praying casually. Once pastor comes in, yakara, shekebereke. I know. And even if I don't know, God knows. Don't be a man pleaser. Don't be a man pleaser. Are you following me, friends? Don't be a man pleaser. So that your leader can be absent and you still walk as though he's present. Yes, that's commitment. Then the last thing, consistently. So I said number one, work zealously. Number two, with purity of heart. Number three, without eye service. And number five, so you must work consistently. Consistency is what guarantees reward in God's work. It's not just me that said it, it's the Bible. Hebrews 6 verse 10. He said, for God is not unrighteous, it's not unrighteous, you know, to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God doesn't just say, he did it one time like that. He said, you ministered to the saints and you do minister. So it is what you did before and what you keep doing. So don't serve and stop. Serve consistently. In that you have ministered to the saints and you still do minister. I feel so happy that people can come around me, people that knew me like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and still see me and say, ah, this guy, you're still doing this thing. That's what it should be for you. That's what it should be for you. That they're going to come around and see you, ah, 10 years after, I say, ah, you know they tire. You said they were not even started. You ministered and you still do minister. Still the same thing. Give me like an answer of this verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. So, that is what guarantees reward. He said, God will not forget your level of love. So, actually, what guarantees reward is consistency. That's why the Bible will tell us, Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of... That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. How did he end it? He said, as you know, that your labor is not in vain. Yes. It is always a bank that guarantees reward. When you see the Bible talk about reward, it always talks about continuance. You must continue in the work. Don't scatter everything you've done. Let me give you an example. Practical analogy. If we start, how many of you have ever participated in any long distance race? Long distance. Anybody? How long? 200. It's not long now. It's still, which one? 42 kilometers. Yeah, that's long. So people ran the whole Nigeria. That's long distance race. The first, like, long marathon and all of that. Who else have done anything close to that? What did you do? 1,500. That not too long. Now that you just run around the field like 5 times or so. Oh, yeah. So how long did it take you to finish for 2 kilometers? 2 hours 30 minutes. Now some of you will die for you. Look at that. Actually, is the idea of ministry. Ministry is not a sprint; it's a marathon. Now, look at why I gave that analogy. The first reward in doing a marathon race is that you finished it. That's why you see sometimes, if you watch all this marathon on TV and all of that, sometimes the first, they've picked first to 30, but the people that are behind are still running because you just have to finish. If you don't finish, it's like you didn't participate at all. I get to the point. That's actually how it works. So sometimes you are running in those marathon races. You know that the person that is to take first, they've already picked first. But you just be moving, so that you even be walking. So that you just reach. Because if you stop, it's like you didn't start. So even if they're giving compensation prizes, you have to finish to be compensated. Say amen. Some of you should be attempting this race. I think that's what they did in Enugu recently. I didn't hear, if I heard it sometime, I would have announced it to people. That I would have permitted you. You had prayer drive. I would have allowed you. You just don't want to run. But that's the first thing. It's about finishing, not starting. So there is need for consistency. Finish. Don't start and stop. Oh, do it all your life. Serve the Lord all the time. I started serving, doing ministry effectively, like I remember, 2006. So next year we'll make it 20 years, 2 decades, and we are still getting started. He says, sir, what do you mean? I still have like 7 decades or more to go. And I must serve throughout all those times. Remember, I was teaching about long life. The whole idea of long life. David served the Lord his generation. That's the idea. So you don't do small and say, Father, you know the one I've done. Calculate all of them. Another example I'll give you is school. You go to medical school. You do first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year. By sixth year, you say, I'm not doing again. You see the one I did before. Tear that part of the certificate and give me. It doesn't work. You heard the certificate saga in Nigeria recently. Because, and that certificate saga that played out with that politician, it's not like he didn't go to school. He went to school, but it's like he didn't graduate. And if you didn't graduate, it's like you didn't go at all. Are you what I'm talking about? Yes. So finish your race. So Paul said, I have fought the good fight of faith and I have finished my course. You know, I say that is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You have to finish. So don't just start and stop. Finish. Are you getting the point? Don't be a storyteller in the future. Tell your children, ministry, we did it. We did it. Let me tell you, you didn't did it. Oh. Because if you really did it, you will still be didn't it even now. Yes. Finish. When I was stepping out on this, Bible said, if you want to build the house, you count the cost. I knew. The first day I was start pastoring this church, I stood before the mirror and I told myself, I can remember that day. I said, so you started something you would do all your life. I said it loud to myself. It was so clear to me. So I was dressing on coach. I said, so this will be my routine all my life. Dress up every day to go and preach. It was clear to me. Something that our pastors should come to that realization. We'll see the proper ordination for some of you. Yes. I don't call it ordination, commissioning and all of that. But you should come to that realization. So that you don't stop thinking that one day I'll just stop this thing I'm doing. I get to the point. That's the thing they put in, if you watch Orthodox priests, that's what they teach them. Once a priest, always a priest. Even if they sack you from priesthood, you're still a priest. They can take a church from you in those Orthodox churches, but you're still a priest. They can suspend you, you're still a priest. You have to carry it to your head. That I've stepped into something that I would do all my life. How many of you are sure you found something you do all your life? Let me see. Have you found something you do all your life? How sure are you? Did I find ministry? I knew. I may not know. Did I was saying that before the mirror? I didn't know whether I was going to remain in Abani. I didn't know whether I was going to go to Tenugu. I didn't know whether God was going to tell me to stop. But I know that I'm going to do this all my life. I don't know where and how, but I will do it all my life. It is the man that finishes that is rewarded. We don't collect certificates for doing first year to third year. It's when you do final year that are certified. Are you following me? Yes. So walk. Run that you may attain the prize. And it's when you finish. So that's why you do small and you stop. Say, let me rest small. You're not serious. Serve the Lord with everything that's put in you. And tomorrow we preach finally over in this meeting. Amen. Has this been a blessing?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.